Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet-propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit, too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
You're going to teabag fight.
Yeah. You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I bet you didn't know that you were going to get a live show today, but, you know, it's us, The Session.
Well, didn't they announce it on Twitter and Facebook?
I don't know.
Oh.
That would assume I follow the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, that's how I knew to show up.
Just,
I saw it.
Like, oh, I should probably be there.
Oh, there's a show tonight.
Yeah. Maybe I should make that happen.
Yeah, I guess I should leave work now.
Well, it's very nice of you to do so, Warren.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We have a good show for you today, as always, of course. Not only do we have a very fascinating and very handsome brewer from Seattle.
Thank you.
Where? Called Barry Chan, right? That's you?
Last I checked, yes.
All right. From Lucky Envelope up in Seattle. And Warren and I have had the beers before. Last year, we went up there and hung out with Barry a little bit. And I'm kind of disappointed that it's taken this long to get him in the studio. Not even on the show, in the studio.
Right. I was wondering if there was something wrong with him, because I knew it wasn't us.
Well, there might be. I don't know that, to be sure.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out, man. Barry, thanks for coming down. I hope you didn't come in just for this, because
it was a good excuse to take a long vacation.
Well, see, that's all you need. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Getting around town, getting some beers in. Where'd you go this weekend?
I went over to Rare Barrel.
Yes. You got to go there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rare Barrel, Fieldwork, and then Temescal. So that was my big day yesterday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
I had one of their Pilsners. I was actually at the Rare Barrel on Saturday. My nephew was in town, so I had to take him there, or else he cries about it. And I had the Temescal Pilsner. Yep. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a really tasty one.
So yeah.
I was happy. I got to meet Sam, and he recommended that one to me, and it was a great beer.
Nice. I like it, man. I like trying to like focus on people brewing lagers. You know what I mean? And it's weird. It's like the second time I've been to Rare Barrel in 2 weeks that I haven't had a Rare Barrel beer. Because they have guest beers
as well.
Yeah, so last weekend there was Pivo on taps. I'm like, I'm doing that. I'm sorry. And then now is another Pilsner. This is great.
Not even one Rare Barrel.
No.
And then guest beer.
Not even one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good thing you're a member.
Good thing I'm a member.
Do you get a discount on the guest beers?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You should ask about that.
Yeah. Hello. Can I just be a total cheese dick right now? I mean, Taryn gets their beers, so I try them.
Oh, okay.
And they're good.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know. So I like it.
Maybe
like
they should do a sour Pilsner.
That'd be amazing.
It would probably taste a lot like the other sour beers they do, but...
but it would be a Pilsner.
Right. You wouldn't have call it a Pilsner.
Right. You wouldn't have to taste it. Like, you wouldn't have to taste the fact that it's a Pilsner.
Right. But you would buy it because it was a Pilsner.
I would.
I would, too.
Goddamn right. I fucking check that out. Well,
their base recipes are probably mostly wheat, but you probably might have Pilsner in them, you know, for that matter.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Probably some Pilsner malt in there.
You just can't taste it after when it's right.
No, there's no way.
Instead of raping it.
Like, yeah.
It's just a horrible mess.
I want to thank our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home. I was at More Beer this weekend as well on Saturday, getting some coffee, doing a little coffee roasting, John's. And so that was a good time. Yeah,
I went Sunday. Just missed you.
just barely.
On accident. 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yes.
I'm sure it was.
I called ahead.
I think I was there Friday as well.
Damn, when were you there, Barry? Thursday? Yeah.
Are you going tomorrow?
No, I just buy stuff online from them.
It was. It's a cool shop, man. Yeah. I like seeing how they've changed, and it feels weird going in there because I used to work there. But then it feels even weirder going there just to buy coffee, like not beer shit at all. Like, do you need any help? No, I got my 5 pounds of beans. I'm an idiot. And I'm ready.
Hey, you're still home brewing. It's just different.
That's true. That's very different.
they sell coffee stuff there, like actual roasters, though, right?
Oh, yeah. That's where I got my roaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still get my discount, so that's cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're a home brewer. I mean, yeah. You're a home roaster.
Yeah.
That's true.
Home roaster club discount.
That's right. Yes. That is the thing that they do. It's not really. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, they have a good selection of beans, man. I like it. Yeah. I roasted coffee.
Cool beans.
Cool beans. I had to get decaf for... So, are you guys Twin Peaks fans anywhere? Anyone?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the...
I've heard of it.
I just live in the area.
So, they, you know, they had the new season aired last night Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had like a party, right? So we had coffee because coffee's part of the thing. But it's 9 o'clock at night, and nobody's going to drink a fucking cups of coffee. So I had to get decaf. But man,
what a host, nice,
right? Well, and then we made brie and butter sandwiches, which, by the way, Bev, that is you would have loved it. Brie and butter sandwiches.
I don't doubt it.
So
cheese and butter.
Butter
together,
dude. On a,
the only way to make it better would be to add mayonnaise.
It'd be like bacon and bacon sandwich.
On like a French, it was like on like a French, like French, like a baguette, but like a softer baguette, because they do it in the show and it's like a thing.
What show is this? I didn't have my headphones on. I was fixing the camera.
Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want that.
It was fucking delicious. And cherry pie. It was a whole stupid thing, whatever.
Did they release the whole season in one night?
I think what they're doing is like chunks. So they released 4 episodes, but it's on Showtime. So you need like a subscription to their web thing or whatever to get all 4 episodes. Otherwise, I think they're just going to air them one after the other. And then I think June 4th, they're doing like a second set of shows.
It's weird what Netflix has done. Yeah, in making people release things not just once a week.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. Why?
They'll subscribe more. They'll subscribe because they're getting more right off the bat. It's like a bonus.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do the subscribe to the Showtime Go or whatever it is. Yeah. I know that's HBO.
It's a fundraiser.
But they get fewer ad dollars, though, that way, right?
But I think the subscriber numbers outpace the ad dollars. I don't know.
The money coming in matches what they're not making.
I guess, or
they got sharp pencils. They do what they got to do.
Yeah, it just seems bizarre that they're still making money doing that way.
Yeah, I mean,
you wonder how maybe they're just building business.
Yeah.
But once there's a magic number, they get so many subscribers. Pretty soon,
it's real weird. I have no idea. Yeah. But I mean, Showtime doesn't have advertisers, right? That's what we're missing.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
So we're forgetting about this whole thing.
You have to subscribe to even see it at all.
Right. And so since so many people are cutting cable.
Yeah.
Out, they're losing revenue, so you might as well just throw $5 a month at Showtime or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, whatever they care. So I watched the show. I watched the first 2 episodes with everybody, and then I watched the second 2 today. Fuck, I hate that show. I fucking hate that show.
Sounds like I'm missing a lot.
It was so... I mean, I love Twin Peaks. I love the show. It was...
the first one? Or the
first
the new
season.
One?
The first season was fucking great. Like, David Lynch at his best, quirky, but the pacing was good and the characters were cool and it's interesting and funny and very creepy and bizarre as well. And the second season, the first quarter of the second season was pretty good. And then Lynch like left and Mark Frost came over. He took everything over and just kind of made it this like 24 episode, like slow burn, fucking terrible 90s, like soap opera. It was bad.
Does that sound like your neighborhood, Barry?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Everything's just a slow burn up there.
That's right. And then this third season, dude, the first two episodes are like... the analogy I have for it is like if you took everybody's... Like, you went to a film class and went to the experimental film class and found everybody who's trying to major in experimental filmmaking and took their finals, like their final film, cut that up and threw it in a blender and then re-pieced it together, that would be the first two episodes. It's like the most irritating, you know, here's a shot of the fucking dude looking at the thing and then it cuts back to the thing he's looking at.
Like the kettle boiling.
And then it cuts back to the dude looking at the thing and then it cuts back to the thing and then it's just like, I can't take it. I fell asleep twice.
Oh.
Twice in each episode.
Oh.
I fell asleep.
Are they 20-minute episodes? How long are they?
No, they're an hour long.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We had some good decaf.
Yeah, it's a great decaf.
Maybe you
bit.
Should have drank in the regular stuff.
I think so. Well,
just a little, you know?
So today I watched it. I caught up with the stuff that I had missed.
With some real coffee.
Yeah. Right. With some real coffee. Yeah. And then I watched episode 3 or part 3. I'm like, okay, I'll watch part 3. Out. You're gone. It's so boring. The pace is so off. I can't take it. But then part 4 gets a little better.
Okay.
So to anybody out there who's as
disillusioned.
You're
not really selling it.
Right. So is it on autoplay? Like, why does it keep happening in your house?
That's a good question. Because I hate myself.
Okay.
No, because I want to watch it. I want to experience it. And it's like a thing I've been waiting for. And I was excited about it. But... I don't know. It's one of those things, man. I don't want to say it's like a car wreck where you have to look at it or whatever. But it's like, I don't know.
It sounds like the kind of thing would be better if you're stoned. Because if you're stoned, you're always like 3 seconds behind what's really happening on the thing.
Yeah.
And this goes so slow, you can catch up real quick.
Probably. And someone did like say that it's perfect slow burn storytelling, which now I can't get that phrase out of my head. But it's not because it's irritating. I honestly wanted to turn it off at least 3 times, but like today, and throw my mouse away so I can't like go. Well, let me give another try.
During the 10 minutes you were actually awake.
Yes, it was very uncomfortably slow and awkward. And then the shit that was happening, it's like so drawn out. The actions are so drawn out, and it's like I can't. I get it.
Is it in slow motion?
No.
What?
It's
people
just
are just slow up there?
Methodical. Where there, I won't ruin it for anybody who gives a shit, but there's a guy painting, and he's like painting these objects, and he's spray painting these objects, and he sprays this object.
The whole thing.
And then it's on like a conveyor belt, and he just shifts it over, spray paints this other object, shifts it over, spray paints this other object. Shifts it over, spray paints this other object. Then the thing rotates. And then he spray paints the backside. And then finally it cut. But it's like a 5-minute scene of him spray painting shit. And I'm going, oh.
That's art.
Just go. Just do it. Just something happen. Give me an explosion. I mean, I don't know. I don't need to be like... I don't have like ADD when it comes to watching things. I can get into pacing and I understand story structure. I get it.
Yeah.
But this was like too experimental for me and couldn't deal with it.
What's the music like during that scene? Is it tense? Like, are you expecting something bad to happen?
I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't know. I can't even remember. I was so focused on what the fuck I'm doing watching this still.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it sounds great.
Unless those objects were critical to the plot, they should have just had some, like, him doing some spray painting, some, like, sort of time-lapse thing where he looks at the clock and it's an hour later, he's still spraying shit or something. I don't know what they're trying to get at.
I don't know what
it's a boring job, but what's the point?
I don't know what the objects are either, but that's Lynchian, right? It'll be relevant, but, like, 5 parts later. But just the action of the things being painted... It's scene after scene of that, of just this slow, methodical, like, I'm going to walk into the room, and then you see the camera's moving, the guy just comes back because he forgets something or whatever, and then picks it up, and then walks back into the room. It's like, I want to take a claw hammer to my skull and rip my brains out because I can't.
That's real life.
I can't deal with it.
Too real.
It's as if you did it.
Oh, whatever.
We're going to have to watch it in fast forward mode.
You might be better off.
Yeah.
You might be better off.
Subtitles.
Speaking of people doing stuff, White Labs has been releasing all of their yeast from their vault, and there's still time left for you to choose from a great lineup and place an order on unique specialty strains like WLP845, which is their fast lager yeast, which is quick to ferment lagers, or WLP564, Leeuwenhoek Saison Yeast Blend. Perfect for your summertime saisons. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault to purchase a yeast strain before its order cutoff date. Once all the yeast has been released, White Labs will be adding the same strains back into the vault and continually adding new ones as well. This could be your only chance to get these rare specialty yeast strains without waiting for it to collect 250 pre-orders. So don't wait. Go to whitelabs.com/thevault. All right, you want to do some feedback?
Yeah, let's do a lot of feedback.
All right.
Bring them on.
Let's do all the feedback. So much feedback. This is from Greg. He says, I'm sorry, hold on a second. Feedback is brought to us today by the Beer Law Center. Go to thebeerlawcenter.com and learn about how John... how John can protect your trademark. He can help you file papers, get all the stuff that you need to put a brewery or, I imagine, winery or whatever together. It's a lot of legal hassle, a lot of legal jumps to go through, and John will help you navigate all that stuff. So head over to beerlawcenter.com. He's a good dude. I believe he'll be at NHC as well. So just offer to do shots of Fireball with him because he seems like a Fireball guy.
Yikes.
He doesn't really, but I want to make him.
No, he doesn't.
But, yeah. But I guarantee you John would do Fireball shots with you.
Because he's so nice,
right.
And you would just be a terrible person to make him do that.
He'd be like, sure, I would love to do that. I would love to do these with you.
Yeah, and then he'd be like, oh, you're actually really awful.
And then when the sixth person brings him a handle of Fireball,
yeah.
He'll wonder.
I was set up.
Who's
behind this?
Open up the law center here. Go to work on these guys.
I'll go to town on these motherfuckers.
Yeah, bow tie makes you do crazy things.
It really does. Really does. Like sue people for getting you drunk off Fireball. This is from Greg. He says, the other day on my way to lunch in Adelaide, Australia. I'm sure people in Australia love when people go Australia. I think they love it.
I think, yeah.
That's why I do it.
That's how they know. That's how they know you're talking about them,
right?
If you just said Australia, they'd be like, "What?"
Yeah, like I'm familiar with Australia. I've seen Mad Max, and I can say Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I got caught up in a gay rights march. Apparently that happens. For the first minute, I couldn't tell the specifics of what they were chanting. I eventually figured out that they were chanting "gay rights for Chechnya."
Huh.
It didn't appear tasty. Yeah? You love the gay rights for Chechnya?
No,
like a lot.
No, it's really a thing.
Yeah, okay. It didn't appear that there were many Chechnyans in the march. What does a Chechnyan look like, Greg? Come on. From their Australian accents, it appeared to be Australians marching for Chechnya. I almost pissed myself when I figured it out, not because of the gay rights march, but the fact that I kept imagining Justin and JP yelling through the bullhorns. Not very beer or feedback related, but I thought I had to pass it on. Well, Greg, congratulations on your new lifestyle of marching for the gay Chechnya.
Right.
Sure, they appreciate it. That's feedback. We had one piece of, like, usable, valid feedback, and that was on the fucking cusp. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I mean, that was more of just a story from his life.
Yeah. So, Tasty reminded me, we do have a phone line. It's 888-401-BEER, which is 2337. And you can call it up, and you can talk to us, because we don't have feedback.
Ask us a beer question.
Yeah. Ask Barry a beer question. You know, Barry's a beer guy. He brews beer.
Yeah, ask
for a living.
Yeah, ask him. We'll get into what he knows, but yeah. And as the show goes on, I'm sure you can call in and ask Barry a question. I'm sure somebody up in Seattle wants to call up and give him some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ask an intelligent question.
Yeah,
it's obviously some sort of dig about some insider thing.
And I can provide a not very intelligent response.
Right,
it works out well.
Life questions. It doesn't even have to be about beer.
We'll get Annie Johnson on the phone, and she'll set you straight. Why are you doing the things? I think it's going to be good questions. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to start drinking some beer with Barry from Lucky Envelope Brewing. It's the session, everyone. Stay tuned, and, you know.
There might even be a Twitter game.
We'll probably be back. Oh, I forgot Twitter game. Shit. Anyway, hang on.
listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Hey, this is Gabriel from Half Acre in Chicago. You're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
All right. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Before we get to Barry and some of these amazing beers, I mean, I don't know. Barry told me to say that, so I don't know if they are or not, but
I like to flatter myself.
Do me a favor. When you come back, just say that they're amazing, please. Just let me... Fine. Great Fermentations. They're giving away free home brewing ingredients for 15 years. And a Blickman Brew Easy all-grain brewing system. Just go to greatfermentations.com/giveaway and enter for your chance to win. It's a huge prize, $10,000 retail value. Whoa. Compliments of Great Fermentations. The grand prize announcement will be on Saturday, June 17th, which I believe is the last day of NHC.
Oh, yes, it is. Saturday.
Yes.
All right. Also, they're doing random giveaways every 2 weeks leading up to the close of the competition. Items include a conical fermenter, temperature controllers, the new Blickman Riptide Brew Pump, and more. As always, when you order from Great Fermentations, you'll get top-notch customer service and same-day shipping on many items. Just go to greatfermentations.com/giveaway. Be sure to like them on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well at GR8Fermentation. That's greatfermentations.com. Warren, I apologize, my man. What is our Twitter game? Throw them shits out to them, Jones.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever you said.
Yes, culturally inappropriate white man.
You appropriated all of Pennsylvania right there, you Californian.
I try to.
Basically, with all the things that happened over the last 2 weeks now, buyouts, cloudy beer, I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's so 2016. I want to know what 2017's topic is going to be. I'm ready to start talking about that.
Okay. You're ready to live in the present and the future, not necessarily in the most recent past.
Right. We're almost halfway through 2017.
Right.
Let's talk about something new.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
I like it.
Yeah.
What should we is it a complain about or not, I guess? What could we be positive about?
I don't even...
Could
let's be,
positive.
Let's be negative. Something new.
Let's be neutral. Fuck it. Who
right.
cares?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah.
We'll find out, hopefully.
That would be kind of a great thing is if we, like, the beer community just started being neutral on shit.
Wouldn't have a lot to say.
I know. But I think that'd be rad. Like, hey, black IPAs are back. I mean, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I guess I'll have one.
Yeah. Hey, that label's sexist. Well, I could see it both ways. Shit! Yeah,
but it tells you what's in the bottle.
Yeah. This beer is cloudy. Well, but some people like it.
Yeah.
Huh. Can't get anywhere.
Yeah, let's see what feedback there is about that.
That'd be great. Good job, Warren. Well, we'll see. I guess the proof is in the results.
Hopefully, we'll get some more things to talk about.
Yes, that's true. All right, Barry. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
You're here. Beth pouring some of your beers.
Yes, she is.
I'm excited about that. So you've been on kind of a little press tour lately, the past, like, month or so. Yep. And this is kind of a pretty sad decline in your, your credibility to be on our show.
This is me jumping the shark right now.
Yeah. He wasn't doing a mountain of media blitz. It was the valley.
It's true, especially here.
Yes.
We're at the bottom of that valley.
Yeah.
Not going to crawl out of this one.
No, not at all.
No. Okay.
So before you opened, you were a home brewer,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. How did you get started home brewing? I like hearing how people actually start making beer. Why the fuck would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how most of my ideas start out, just doing something terrible and getting really addicted to it, and then usually finding something else to do. But this one kind of stuck with me. But
okay,
I actually was at always liked craft beer, but I was at the Gordon Beers Airport in L.A. trying to fly up to visit my my fiance, now wife.
Okay,
and
I think it's just called LAX.
Lax.
I don't think they own the airport.
Oh, Lax.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just fucking with you. Why? I know he's so nice. Like, why would you mess with Barry?
Because everybody does.
That's true.
So I was drinking some of the lagers there, and I caught myself saying something that really got myself annoyed. Where I said, "Oh, I wish this beer had more hops in it." And then
God.
Yeah, it was a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
And then I realized it. And
When was this? I'm sorry.
Probably about 2011.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. No, 2006. 2007.
See, you don't even know.
That was close.
I can't trust a single thing he says now.
Yeah. Was it yesterday or 20 years ago?
Yeah, I was just in Australia last week.
2006.
Yeah, 2006,
Australia.
2007. And then I realized that I'm criticizing a beer and I have no idea how to make it. So with that, I kind of, it was on my list of things to do. So after leaving LA, when I moved up to Seattle in 2008, went down to the local homebrew store, Bob's, which a lot of people get their start at. Okay. And we, and then, you know, just picked up a kit and started from there.
Wow.
Yep. And then slowly found a few other podcasts, and I don't know if I can name other ones.
Sure.
But, yeah, I started out with Basic Brewing Radio.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. but they, after that, there was an episode that Jamil was on.
Uh-huh.
And then
okay.
from that, I made the leap over to Brew Strong and everything.
Oh, Jamil was your gateway drug.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. And then from there, started learning more about the process, and then his emphasis on competitions
was cool.
Big, because I wanted to improve my beer, and started doing well in competitions, and that kind of made me catch the bug.
Nice.
Yep. And just kept going from there until before I quit my professional life previously.
What were you doing?
I was a structural engineer.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So
I was going to assume that. I mean, I think it's pretty much, once you hear somebody is a home brewer, it's a pretty, you're like a third chance that you guess an engineer of some sort, and you'll be right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But especially,
they've all taken college calculus. They're in some sort of thing where they had to do math.
Some detailed thing, and then especially just you describing your how you were criticizing something without knowing how to do it. So I should know how to do it to better understand how to criticize it. Which I added that last part. It was implied, but I picked it up on it.
Critical thinking.
I would assume something like that. That's pretty funny.
If I'm going to insult somebody, I want to know everything about them so I can really insult them.
Well, that's why I became a beer judge, is because I was sitting here bitching about beer judges the whole time, and finally I was like, hey, you know what? I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me be a beer judge. So now I know what everybody's doing wrong.
How many times have you judged now that you're a beer judge?
Two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did it.
That was like 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. As many as he planned on.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, hey, let me flex these judgments. Oh, this sucks. This is a pain in the ass. 12 beers?
Sheets.
And then you take a break for 5 minutes and you drink 12 more? No.
Yeah. No wonder no one fills out these sheets.
This is terrible.
You judged two more than I have.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't plan on it.
I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I've done best of show judging, where you don't do score sheets.
See, that's what
I've never filled out a score
sheet. I would do GABF judging.
Yeah.
Because you don't do score sheets.
Yeah, right.
Well, whatever you write doesn't have to make sense.
No.
That's true.
No. Yeah. Take an action on a line.
Right.
Yeah. This tastes like the color green. Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Third place.
Bonus points. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
So you meet people. You're home brewing up in Seattle.
Yep.
Have you been dreaming about opening a brewery? Like pretty much every home brewer, all have had that kind of.
That's
like
exactly
thing,
how
right?
it started out. Is,
okay.
I want to do this. It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then
did you hate structural engineering? Or
actually, I love the engineering part.
Okay.
The problem solving was really awesome. It was the kind of when you. After you get really good at your job, they start putting you into management roles.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when it kind of takes the fun out of it. So instead of solving problems, I'm babysitting people.
Oh, yeah.
Problem solving. That's where I saw it going. And there was actually a point where I asked for a demotion, and they told me no. So
Jesus.
I knew that it was about time to it was about time to make a leap away.
So you were solving problems, but not the right ones. You're solving people, personality problems and whatever, and that's no one wants
in addition
to
all my own problems.
Right. My therapist recommended me not take this job.
So did you go right from homebrewing into the business, or did you do some work at another brewery or something?
I did a few, I guess I call them internships, but they're kind of crash courses. So the first one I did was actually with Colin over at Downtown Joe's before he left.
Yeah.
That was 2012, I think. So I shadowed him for 2 days, and he let me see the side of the brewery where he's making a lot of the stuff himself. I mean, he's Mr. Gadget guy.
Oh,
my God.
The guy's
insane.
Yeah.
And then he found out I was a structural engineer, so we ended up spending two hours going over the plans when they did the seismic retrofit for Downtown Joe's. And I said, I'm trying to get away from this.
He didn't know about your rate, did he? I mean, that's pretty high.
Yeah. I could totally see that. I could totally
have a graduate
see
degree in that or something, too.
Yeah. So I was thinking about putting this tank up there. How thick of steel do I need to use?
Yes.
Colin is crazy, and he loves doing that shit. He loves just getting down to the nitty-gritty of problem-solving like that, too, which is why he's good at what he does.
Yep, exactly. So, I spent a few days with him, got to pick his brain.
Yeah.
And then you had a guest on before, Tom Hennessy, the Colorado boy.
Yeah.
And So my business partner and I, we both did his shadowing program. So it was a three- or four-day crash course, both for brewing and then also tax reporting and then front of house as well in terms of how to keep books. And,
Good. Good stuff to know.
Yeah.
Yep. All that hard stuff.
Yeah. Other 80%.
That's crazy, man.
Yep.
So it took you about five, six years to really just start going, this is what I want to do.
Yep. Yep. And then
and you were okay with the pay cut.
Yes, absolutely.
Were you married at the time?
Yeah, I was.
And your wife was okay with the pay cut.
She was okay with the pay cut, and she was also, by the time I quit my job, she was 8 months pregnant.
Timing is everything.
So you really didn't give a shit.
It was.
You're like, I'm going to quit my job. Also, I just got you pregnant. So
yep.
You're
yep.
welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're going to start a business because starting a business is too easy to do by itself.
Right.
Yep.
But she was fine with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Supportive.
So, you know, we saved up. We squirreled away some money so that we obviously had health insurance. And, all the important things.
But starting the business would take so much of your time, I'm sure.
Oh, right? It did. Just between the two, it's nonstop. But it's going well. Definitely going to work every day still. Enjoying it.
Still stoked about it.
Absolutely.
When did you open?
We opened in May of 2015.
Okay.
Yep.
That recent? I guess that was 2 years ago.
Yep. We just celebrated our second year anniversary in the beginning of May.
Oh. And things are going well.
Yeah.
People are digging it in Seattle.
Yeah. It's a really good community.
Mm-hmm.
Really smart beer drinkers. And they definitely like to try new stuff, but they when something's good, they like to stick with it as well. So they know.
Okay.
They know things.
Do you find that different? Is Seattle kind of like a standout in that regard, or?
I haven't really spent too much time in other communities getting to know the general
It's a weird question,
trends.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't really know. I mean, I would imagine that any good beer-drinking town, Bay Area, Portland, places like that, very much the same.
Because we've talked on the show about how millennial drink? I don't know. Let's call them millennial drinkers. Aren't really as brand focused.
I think I came up with this word for you last time.
Loyal.
Loyal. Thank you. Yeah. Warren, you have the brain that I need.
Yeah.
At least part of it.
I know a few words.
If they see a brand they've never seen before, they're more apt to try it.
Yes, yeah. they want more variety than than 20 years ago, right. 10 years ago, or whatever like that.
They want to be the one that had that beer first in their group of friends.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm just curious if that was kind of what you're experiencing or up there in Seattle.
Yeah,
well.
Definitely. We're located in the Ballard, I guess it's now we kind of call it the Ballard Brewery District.
Okay.
So, within a half mile of us, we have 11 breweries.
Wow.
So, and people just make afternoons out of it on a weekend, and they'll just hit all, seven or eight breweries in a day, and it's pretty nutty. But we're all friendly with each other, and it's been awesome. I mean, we have in about two blocks of us, we have three other breweries.
Who you have?
We have Rubens, Stoop, and Populix.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
We went to Rubens. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
We had them on the show. They make some good beer.
Yep, mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's really great.
Yep.
That's cool, and I like how it's a very much a culture of sharing.
Yep. Yeah. Be promiscuous with your beer.
That's right.
Have you guys kind of? Have you reached a limit? You're not going to welcome the next brewery.
Like that's it.
There's a new one actually coming in, and we definitely leave bags of poop on there. No, we did not. No, it's open, and they reached out to a lot of the breweries just to check the whole scene. So it's it's still the beer industry, which is like everybody says, 90% asshole-free.
Right.
Yep.
Well, because the assholes keep getting bought out.
Right.
I guess.
I mean, they make their money and then leave.
But Warren sort of brings up an interesting point. Is there a limit that you guys see being reached in your district? I mean, you have 11 breweries in that. Mm-hmm. What is it? How many square blocks do you know?
All I know is distance, about a half a mile radius.
A half a mile, okay.
Yeah, so one square mile-ish.
That's a lot. I mean, even though you guys are all friends and you're all making good beers and people are, like, kind of kosher and cool with it, is there a number that you have in your head? I'm just curious to see if you're like, this is probably a little too crowded right now.
30. I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, when a new one opens and it's been, say, do you notice any change in the business or... Are your other peers that have been there a while, do you guys talk about a bump or a drop in your attention?
Not necessarily. Yeah. There's there's so many people in the Seattle area. We're in an area pretty much surrounded by really dense residential.
And the 25, 35-year-olds rental kind of spaces?
Yep. And then as it goes, you know, with certain breweries, I think we see, you know, different demographic changes in terms of some places getting a little younger, some places are taking in the older people. And but people find the regular place that has the good vibe, and they like to go there. All right.
So with that heavy of a brewery concentration, you get different demographics. You can pick out different demos represented at each different tasting room.
You can see it, and I think it's what we always notice is age. Is, you know, just depending on certain breweries, we'll see that some people might be a lot younger, or and also just time of week. Mm-hmm. But that's what we've been noticing a lot.
Is there a trend with the beer styles that the breweries are offering, or is it maybe like an atmosphere thing, location, or does it not really matter?
I guess there's some trends there, but you know, a lot of hop focused beers everywhere. So I think it's definitely more vibe than anything.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I see. A lot of it's about, in a typical tap room. I'd say we're just talking about breweries in their own tap rooms. They're going to cover the, you know, the six main categories or something like that, and a few extra ones, and and so people, when they go, they'll say, "Oh yeah, you got a pale ale, you got fine." So they'll be happy there. It's more about the ambiance. Is there going to be a place to sit? Are strollers welcome?
How are the stools? Are there dogs
welcome?
Yeah.
You know?
Are there cushions?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so are the stools like taste like or feel like hard bricks and stuff like that? Like here.
Is that where we're at, you think, with craft beer, Tasty? Where
I think if you've got choices, it's you're going to make ambience? A choice based on something,
Yeah. And it's not, there's so much obviously good beer out there that it doesn't matter as much as it would like 5 years ago?
I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt that everybody's beer is good. So if the beer's not so good, that just means that people that don't know good beer are probably going to still go there if it's a better format. I mean, people aren't experts. The average drinker is like, you know, he's just an intermediate expert on beer.
Okay. Sounds about right, Barry.
Yes, 100%.
Whatever, that's fine.
And then the other 25% are idiots. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, those are us. That's us.
Well, you could.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. We're in some other thing.
Like, this is, I don't know. This could use 4 more IBUs.
Yeah, we're like stuck in the details or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Barry made this. I think I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah,
Speaking of Barry made this, what do we got here? Yeah. We got 3 good-looking beers.
Yeah, so I think the first one that you're drinking, the one that's a little bit more clear because it works. That works really well for radio. That's our Helles Lager. So
we love a good Helles here.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite beer that I was brewing as a home brewer and carried it all over.
What's the ABV on this?
It's about 5. Oh, nice. 5.51, I think.
Well, the label says 5.2, so that extra 0.1% Tasty, that's a fucking gift.
That's within the legal.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do things. It might be 5, you just might be lying twice here.
that's what I'm doing all
night. Pretty loose
lying
up in Seattle.
Yep.
Okay, who's checking?
That's a Tasty lager, man.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'd probably brewed this one the most, more than any beer, kind of towards the end of bring on my porch.
Okay.
And, because I just would not stop drinking this one. So it was we were really fortunate that it carried over, kind of the recipe carried over really well onto the under the big system, the 15 barrel.
And that's a traditional hopping level of a Helles. I mean,
yes. Yeah, we're
Helles, I think, like something you said earlier about the fact you wanted to make your epiphany when you were at the Gordon Beers outlet.
The Gordon Beers Airport.
At LAX.
You didn't. You're welcome, man. Just trying to put you at ease.
You made like an IPL or a really forward Pilsner beer.
Yeah, so this,
IPL.
Yeah.
Did you just say that and use it in as a normal descriptor?
I don't know. New England style, I mean, it's like these things come and they go, right?
But you're making it just
validating it?
Yeah, you're throwing it out there. You're talking, making it okay.
Like casual conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounded normal.
Yeah. I almost was like, oh, that sounds really. No!
Yeah. I do stand corrected.
Okay. Well, you're sitting down. So.
Pop your lagers.
Yeah, do you have a pressure to do that? Kind of throw some more hops in there and Americanize this fucking better beer, this better style all around?
We could, but I I like to keep it the way it is. If we're going to do it, if we're going to hop something a little bit more crazy, we'll just throw it into a Pilsner at that point. But even then, I want to keep it under control. That's what
I appreciate that.
That 35 IBU is kind of where I like to be for those Pilsner styles.
How is it selling over the
This is our once you go past the two IPAs that we have on, this is the third bestseller.
Okay.
So, nice.
Yeah, we have our. Yeah.
Have you seen that trend growing? I mean, you have. Yeah. You've been open 2 years, so it's not like you have a long history to look back on. Yeah. But I would imagine.
Yeah, people really like it. I think even in the wintertime when it's cold and rainy, people are just looking for something that's just drinkable and something more a little bit more flavorful than your standard lager, as delicious as Rainier can be.
It's fucking good.
Yeah,
it's so good. God, I miss that beer.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, my wife just sent me a picture. She got a case of it sitting at home for me when I get home, and I was super happy.
Wow.
Yeah, she wasn't drinking it. She was just showing you the beer she was drinking.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
She's a better woman than either of us have, sounds like.
Yeah.
Hey, I got this beer for you, but I'm drinking it. Yeah. No, I wouldn't fly in Barry's house.
No. Yeah. I know where there's good beer.
Barry, what's the base malt in this?
We use Weyermann Pilsner. That's the base.
That's a great choice.
I don't know what it is.
It's probably 90% of the grist. Anything else in there?
Look at this guy. Yeah. He has his recipe sheets here.
Whoa.
What a home brewer.
It's not his first rodeo.
Hey, good job, man. Hey, I appreciate that, man.
Wow, my self-esteem just went through the roof.
Nerd.
Yeah.
We have a low
ceiling, so.
Well, there we go. Yeah. It's about 93% Pilsner.
And then biscuit or something?
There's a little bit of 3% biscuit, 3% Munich. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's the base of it. We used to have melanoidin in it, but after it ended up getting a little bit too sweet after it aged for a bit.
Oh, that ice, yeah. Yep. Over
so
time.
We started taking that out, and it's been great.
Tastes terrific. And thanks. You know what yeast did you use?
We use Fermentis W3470.
Oh, dry?
Yeah, we use dry yeast for pretty much all our beers.
All your beers.
Yep.
Why is that?
It's easy.
Okay.
And I've never really had an issue with it. Some people complain about off flavors, like some kind of peachy thing for the standard American ale yeast, but it's worked out great for us. So that's what we use, and We're still relatively small, so we're not always reusing yeast just because we don't have enough tanks to keep it cycling. So it's not the end of the world if you chuck it out.
Perfect solution.
Yep. How do you rehydrate it? How do you add it on generation one?
We talked about that. We initially used to rehydrate it pretty much based off of the yeast book, but I spoke with one of the technical sales reps, and they're actually working. Well, yeah, you could probably quote me on this. They are working on trying to get it, quote unquote, certified as no hydration necessary. They're noticing that the cell counts drop by only a few percent when you pitch it into the beer dry. Hmm. So we just do that now.
You're talking about viability and stuff.
So yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. And so you haven't noticed any difference in fermentation lag phase or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think it ends up being a couple hours difference, and that really doesn't make a difference at all.
Right.
A lot of brewers I've talked to is they pitch more because they don't hydrate first.
Got it.
Kind of make up for the loss.
Yeah. Yeah, we've never had to. And then after that, we'll reuse American ale yeast, definitely. But
you keep that going.
Yes, we keep that going. But that can usually go three, four generations, and then we just kind of let it go or throw it into our kettle sour or something, and then it's done. But it's a great workhorse.
Well, your Helles is
awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
It's a great flavor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell me about the name of your brewery, Lucky Envelope.
Oh, Lucky Envelope. So myself and my business partner, Ray, we're both Chinese American. So it stems from the tradition that you might see at a Chinese wedding, or it started out during Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. But it's the red envelope, Lai Si or Hongbao, and the older generation gives it to the younger generation, the little red envelope full of money, as a sign of good luck and prosperity.
Okay.
So the red on the envelope is supposed to ward off evil spirits, and then the money inside is supposed to bring you good luck. So it was
money has a way of doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
that day's a good day.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of meaning to us because a lot of our favorite memories as kids revolved around that because you're a kid getting money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to pay a little bit of respect to our heritage without being too in your face about it.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the Chinese American Brewing Company.
Yes, exactly. Be, or like, yeah, Red Panda Dragon Brewing Company. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, we stayed away from that.
Yeah.
And we're actually a little cautious on trying to make it too obvious about being kind of quote-unquote the Chinese brewery.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that things have progressed, we have definitely embraced it a lot more.
And there's some certain beers, or like I know the historical beer is one.
Yep.
Do you have other beers that you've done that have a sort of a Chinese sort of like backbone to them?
No. What we like to do is this is we like to call our beers culturally inspired.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely the historic beer that we'll have at some point this evening. Comes from the Chinese tradition, but we also obviously with lagers are some of my favorite beers to drink, and that mm-hmm. pulls from German culture, and and so we pull from a lot of those different aspects. But another beer that we'll probably get to tonight, we have a two pepper pale ale with habanero and Japanese shishito peppers. So just ingredients that I've come across that I really like flavors for, and then we'll put those into a beer if we deem it necessary.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so we this first Seattle Beer Week we did a jackfruit Randall for our session IPA.
Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, but
we do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing about not like wanting to be known as like the Chinese brewery, because that's not really what you're doing necessarily.
Exactly. Right. So
It seems like that you're letting the name of the brewery kind of speak for heritage, and then everything else you're just making beer.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's a better way to do it. So mm-hmm. People who know, mm-hmm. lucky enough, that's cool. And then yep. people who find out about you know, and they learn a little bit about the culture, and that's cool also. But you don't want to be defined by
yep.
who you are.
Yeah, we just didn't want to make it a gimmick.
Right. And, yeah, then it seems a little too off.
Too forced.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not the Lucky Panda Dragon Brewing Company. That would be amazing.
It'll grab someone's attention, but I don't think it'll bode well for long term.
But if high-end brands is looking for some diversity, you have a price.
That's true.
$10 billion.
$10 billion. It will
right.
work.
Yeah, they've got it.
They got a big piggy bank.
They got the money, man. I like it. That's a good story. I like just taking a little bit of your culture, and that's it.
Yep.
You just leave it alone.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Seattle is a pretty diverse place, is it not? I don't really know
much about
it.
Kind of like that, but the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white people?
I think there's a couple articles out in the past few years saying between Seattle and Portland, the most white cities in America.
Fucking white people, man.
Well, it's
what are we doing up there, Warren?
It's real cloudy, and so people don't get tan. That's why they're so white up there.
So are you implying that there could be more races up there, but everyone just looks white because no one's getting
the
sun?
The sun doesn't come out.
Huh.
I have seen...
we should work on this.
It's a theory.
It's
we should test it.
It's a hypothesis, yeah. I think, at that point.
When I was there, I was up in Portland this summer in July, I saw the palest person I think I've ever seen in my life.
Like the veins and shit?
I think you could see the blood flowing right underneath the skin.
Good.
And she was wearing shorts and a tank top walking out in the sun.
Own that Casper shit, dude.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Fucking own that shit. Let's move to the second beer, then. What are we drinking here?
This is our Darker
John.
Yep. In homage to Warren, this is our Beardless Brewer Red Ale.
And Beardless?
Beardless.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's what he wants you to be.
Ah,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he is.
That's right. I just look really creepy if I try to grow a beard out.
And I don't?
But you own it.
Thank you. Yes. It looks good on me.
So this is our kind of we call it Irish style, but this is more. It just takes more of the elements that I like in red ales, and it cuts out the caramel from it.
Okay.
I think especially some of the American ambers and reds, they have a sweetness that doesn't personally jive with me. But
yeah.
This is this one's definitely a little drier. It has a little bit of caramel. Some more. It's a little bit more roasty. But it's, just, again, very easy drinking. I think it ends up being 5.5%.
Well, so what do you mean you just cut out the caramel? It sounds as simple as I am, but it's I don't understand
it. Yeah, so I think it's more of a flavor profile that you get with some reds, where it can just have a sweetness in there.
Okay,
that can go kind of all that toffee, and
right.
They have a lot of that. And this one we try to cut it out.
So you just don't use those malts, the crystal malts,
yes.
And all that kind of shit?
Some, but they probably use some dark malt.
Yes, a lot of the color comes from roasted barley.
Okay.
Yep. So it has a little bit of roast.
Some brewers try to use all crystal to get the color, and
right.
That's why they came
right.
out to...
Like a special B you would have, crystal.
They wouldn't
go
that high. I mean, that makes them use even more.
I would put special B in my red.
Well,
so
that's more like what he's doing with the roasted malt. Yeah. Just a little bit.
So, do me a favor. Yeah, line us up with this.
All right.
Because this is really interesting to me. Sorry, Warren. If you'd given this to me and didn't tell me it was a red ale, I would never have... I mean, red-ish, right? I would never have pinned it at this style.
Yep.
So I like what you're doing with that.
It's like an English brown.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, it has a lot of that roasted character in there. But yeah, it's mostly Maris Otter, some Vienna, and then we do use some corn in there as well to dry it out, and then the crystal malts that we use, just a little bit of the Crystal 45, Crystal 60, and we do use a Fawcett Crystal 120.
Okay,
so you know, it has the same love a bond as Special B, but it's just British malt. Right.
Nothing darker than the Crystal 120?
Roasted barley.
Oh, roasted barley was
yes,
in there.
Yes, but
okay.
No, yep.
Duh, Warren.
I didn't hear that part.
Well, you have a lot of English. What yeast did you use in this?
We actually use American ale yeast in this. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so the closest thing we could find that kind of fits the quote-unquote style is an Irish-style red.
Okay.
Yep.
With all the breweries in the neighborhood, is the water really good? Or are people having to all treat
the water's water? Incredible in Seattle. We are... very, very lucky. Our water treatment system consists of a carbon filter.
Okay.
We have...
That's pretty good.
It's pretty much distilled water up there. I think we get...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 30 parts per million of calcium that's all we get in the water up there.
Jeez.
And then, so it's perfect. We can do what we want with it, and you can start it out just straight out of the faucet or make a great Bohemian Pilsner.
Yeah.
Do you do much water adjustments?
We use gypsum and salts, things like that. But,
yeah.
But
you'd have to add back to most of your beers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The only time we have to, we could potentially add some baking soda into beer. I think the red does it a little bit, but then when we do our porters and stouts, the pH will drop like a rock. So we have to buffer it with a little bit of baking soda.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Keep the pH up.
Yep.
I like this beer, man.
Thank you.
I really do. I'm trying to get away from... Here's my problem. I think there's so many pale beers out now. There's so many. Mm-hmm. And especially the Session IPA shit, and it tastes all... it's the same. Like, you're basically painting with the same five fucking color palette, right?
Yep.
It's the same beer, just reorganized underneath a different brewery. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate this.
Thank you.
This beer. Like, a dark beer you can drink a lot of.
Yep. I think between this one and our Helles, these are the ones that we're always drinking the most of.
I can see that.
Josh and I, after the end of the shift, it's Helles or red, just because we want something that's not hoppy in your face, things like that.
What's the ABV on this guy?
Five, I think.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of character, a lot of malt character. Mm-hmm. It's not over hops, so it's not hiding this malt character.
And I like the roast that's coming through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot, but it's just enough.
Malt, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got interesting malts. It's complex. It's great.
Yeah. I like it, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. What's this next beer we have?
This one is our the one that caused all the random press that all of a sudden happened. this is
from the ChineseAmericanFamily.com?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a good
article. The TV appearance and all that random stuff.
Yeah, dude.
But, this is the Mijiaya. That's what we call it, but that's not the actual correct pronunciation. it's easier to say. It's a beer based off of a 5,000-year-old archaeological dig site where they were excavating and they found pots holding the grains.
Right.
And then they were able to do some research and had some analysis procedures to determine that what kind of grains were found in there. So
we made a
beer using those ingredients that they were able to identify at the dig site.
What were they?
If you
don't mind me asking.
Yes. Well, that's easy.
Okay.
It was regular barley. So that was the huge historical significance of actually finding barley in China 5,000 years ago. This is the oldest documented reference of Pilsner being there. They for a long time they thought it didn't arrive to 1,000 years later.
Oh, okay.
But the cool part about it was there's a lot of common knowledge that the first beers were kind of developed in that Mesopotamia, Sumeria region.
Mm-hmm.
And and from my research, the earliest those sites dated to was 3500 BC. And then with this one dating 5,000 years ago, that's right in that time frame. So,
wow.
Well, were there grinding wheels? Like, obviously, they had used this for bread.
Yes.
The baseball or the grains. Was there signs of, like, equipment to do that?
I don't know if they actually found equipment, but they found the grains were damaged. So they knew that they were being processed in a way. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was a barley.
That's how I choose my women, by the way. The more damaged, the more I can do more with them.
The more you put them in pots and store them for 5,000 years?
Metaphorically speaking, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry, Barry.
Other forms of abuse is what he wants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a good percentage of millet and then Job's Tears, which is a seed that comes from a grass. So this is they call it Job's Tears barley. And I didn't know what it was until I actually saw what it came in a package at the grocery store, but
you can buy it at the grocery store.
The Chinese grocery store
seems like the most Seattle thing possible.
Where else would you go?
Yeah. Ancient some Job's Tears
for 5,000 years.
Oh yeah, we got tons of that shit. Our number one seller.
Yeah.
Was it bitter? What was the flavor of this?
It's salty. It's very similar to just raw barley.
Raw barley.
Yeah. So I remember eating it as a kid. My parents would make soups with it.
Huh.
So it's just it's. Or yeah, like barley, raw barley, or like even hominy for like in Mexican food.
Okay,
it had very much that same kind of. It was just kind of bland,
right?
But it was there.
Okay, starchy and weird.
Yep.
And
I think I saw on the internet that you got the actual paper that was done by this scientist, archaeologist, right?
Yep.
Did they find like other vessels and elsewhere in that area, or they seem to be using the same sort of ingredients? Like, was there like a standard way of doing it?
I think they found a Yinling can.
It's like, everybody bring your grains in. We're going to make some of this hooch.
like a village thing? Like everyone pitch in?
I don't know how large the actual excavation site was, but I think they said that these were concentrated in a specific area.
Maybe the brewer's above area.
Exactly.
Yeah, storage.
Yep.
Storage area, yeah.
Yep. And then, so we also...
Job's Tears. I'm sorry. I want to focus on Job's Tears.
Did they find a bag? Like maybe they were doing brewing a bag or anything like that?
Yeah, a plastic bag.
Yeah,
a little mesh bag.
Yeah. Maybe they were doing two-week lagers.
Right.
Tasty, you never know.
Right. Did they have a brew log that showed what their steps were for their mash?
So with the Job's Tears, did you have to roast it, kill it and all that kind of stuff? It sounded like it was raw.
It was raw. Okay. We just treated it like raw barley. So we just
brew with raw barley.
So we just ground it up in the mill, and the mill was not very happy with that.
No. Did it gum up?
Huh. No, it kind of cried a lot.
Job's Tears.
You're killing.
So you can use. I thought you had to, germinate them and roast them and kill them.
No, sir. You can do this first.
Yeah,
as long as you have enzymes.
You just need
enzymes. Okay. Enzymes. Just like you can use a. It's a flaked barley. I mean, it's just heat treated, and this is obviously not. But we threw that in just to keep it historically accurate.
Fascinating.
Could they tell if the actual barley was malted to some degree in the pot, or
I don't think so. I don't think they would have to tell.
Like it wasn't germinated.
No way,
Well, that's why I didn't know if there was some way they could tell if it was germinated or not.
They had pots there with introducing oxygen into it to start the to let the seeds germinate. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I have no idea.
Their scientists aren't very good, I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe I should become an archaeologist then.
You should. Just focus on that one.
Hold on. Is this grain germinated?
Yeah. Well, you'll get a call every 10 years for work.
Well, in Western history, I wonder when they did start malting grain.
2009, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was around the same time that 3500 BC in the Mesopotamia region was. They actually had evidence of, I guess, relatively modern brewing practices.
Really?
Yep.
Thank you,
man. Jeez. Yep. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sorry. See, Job's Tears.
Yes.
What else do you have in this thing?
There was also some squash called snake gourd root. And
they could pinpoint the
type
of
fucking pumpkin beer.
Yeah,
huh. It was probably poured out of a fucking gourd.
Yeah,
like a, you know, like a ski shot. Party.
Oh god.
And yams.
Okay.
And yep. And then instead of we did put an arbitrary amount of hops just to say it was beer. I think we put two pellets of Magnum into it. And then
those would be like a gruit or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then the majority of the flavor that you'll get from this from the beer is from lily flowers.
Lily flowers.
Yes. Yep. So they kind of add that earthy, raisiny character to it.
Yeah. Little sweet floral.
Yep.
Character.
Yeah.
It's like a tart thing, too. Mm-hmm. Is that from the flowers, or is that...
We actually put some acidulated malt into it.
Okay.
We didn't... we talked about this before the show, but we ended up doing 3 or 4 pilot batches of this beer, and the first one was fine. We just used a standard American ale yeast to ferment it, and then we tried to sour it up with lacto, and you try to use some rice wine yeast. And it just went downhill real fast.
Okay, okay.
So we reverted back on batch 3-4, and then from that we just we kept it with American ale yeast. So it was we just kept it clean, but you could get the flavors of the different grains.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're doing homebrew size batches.
Yes.
On this,
yep. On my I guess we call it our pilot system now, which is my old 15-gallon homebrew.
Okay.
System.
You still doing a lot of brewing? A lot of homebrewing?
Oh, we do that. It's at the brewery now.
Okay,
so
it's all for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So, Josh runs a lot of that when we have quote unquote free time.
I saw on your menu that you had like a short run beer, like some beers actually on tap at the tap room there off the homebrew system.
Yes. Yeah. We run through small batches in the tasting room just because we like to play around and. Get your creative urges out there. Because
how many Fosters do you have in your tap room?
We have 12.
Yeah, so you could probably fill them out when you have these one-offs. Like
exactly.
That,
yep.
Kind of like a fringe.
Yeah.
Nice. How much acidulated malt's in this beer? Like 3-4%?
It was, I think it was, about 4-5%.
Yeah, it's a little bit
so
higher.
So it adds a little bit in there. But yeah, the pH dropped a little bit more. But.
Yeah. I think your instincts were good on that and trying to like match the kind of like tart acidity to those flowers
the citrus and the add-ons. Yeah.
And I think it also makes it a little more, I don't want to say palatable, but it makes it a little more, it puts it in more people's wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Almost like Goza kind of Berliner Weiss thing.
Absolutely,
going
yeah.
on. Yeah.
Yep. Instead of coriander, we just put lily flowers into it.
Right.
And every beer 5,000 years ago had a little bit of lacto going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 There was no place. Yeah. Everything was spontaneously fermented.
Right.
So when you brewed the very first one, I imagine you tried to keep to the recipe as much as possible and like whatever. How did that turn out?
We kept the base recipe pretty much the same.
Oh, okay.
For the first couple batches, and then we started realizing that loudering when you have 60% adjunct was horrible.
Yeah. Okay.
So we ended up upping the 2-row a little bit and dialed the couple of other ingredients back a little bit, but just to make it.
So you can actually create the thing,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so. That makes sense.
Yep.
Instead of using rice hulls?
We still used a ton of rice hulls, and it didn't.
Even still, wow.
Yeah, it ended up just being this giant, almost, it looked like the polenta that you find at Trader Joe's. Like, at the bottom, it was just this dense cake grains in there. And, every time that Josh would brew it, he'd just look at me and just shake his head.
It's a tasty beer, man.
Thanks.
What percent is this?
It's about 6.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed like 3-something. There's no way I would guess this is 6%.
A lot of yams.
Yep.
R.I.P. yams, baby.
And snake gourd.
And snake gourd.
Yes.
And these are things that you can find.
Yeah. I just went to the Asian grocery store, and I looked around, and I was able to find them.
I'll be honest. I think that's cool and kind of weird at the same time that you want to make a beer that they made 5,000 years ago, and you just meandered on down to the fucking store, and it was all there.
Those Asian stores, they don't change very often.
I think it's
funny. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very Seattle, I think. I like it, but it's also... It's kind of weird to me out a little bit.
Yeah. You could just go to Ranch 99. I guess you have those in California.
Yeah, same thing. Right up the street. I fucking love that place, dude. The whole aisle of ramen.
Yep.
I love it.
You can get a duck there.
You're fucking
They're
you
hanging in the window
there, dude. Like, right. You can get whatever you want. pretty sure.
Just got to ask the right guy.
Yeah. This is a good beer. I would never have guessed it's 6%. There's no way.
Yeah, it's very tasty. It has a lot of flavor, so it really hides the alcohol.
It's refreshing as all get out, too, man.
Yeah. Good summer beer.
Definitely good summer beer. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break right now. But before we do, I want to tell you, Barry, that I've been to your library. And I think it's time to replace that old dog-eared copy of John Palmer's How to Brew. Our friends at Brewers Publications have just published the fourth edition of How to Brew, and it's essentially a totally new book. The fourth edition clocks in at 600 pages, and every chapter has been updated and expanded, and there are five totally new chapters. Totally new. None of this fucking hacked-off shit. This is new stuff. The new John Palmer right here. Whether you want simple, surefire instructions for making your first beer, or you're a seasoned home brewer working with all-grain batches, this book has something for you. From ingredients and methods to recipes and equipment for brewing beer at home, How to Brew is loaded with valuable information on brewing techniques and recipe formulation. Grab your copy at your preferred beer book vendor, which I guess would be your homebrew shop. I don't know. Hey, psst, hey, you want a book on beer? Psst, hey. Or buy it from the Brewers Association store if you want to get the book and support craft breweries at the same time. More information is at brewerspublications.com. Support the Palmer, because he's a good dude. And a little short, but it's fine.
He's still good.
He's good. Anyway, it's the Brewing Network. It's the session. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, there are amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the brewingnetwork.com.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack
stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Hi, this is Wayne Wumbles from Cigar City Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. We're back here with Barry from Lucky Envelope in Seattle. But before we get back to him and some more beers that Bevo is pouring. Why? That's your name, Bevo. Anyway, I want to let you guys know that Neshaminy Creek Brewing has been around the Philly beer scene since 2012. They are the three-time Philly Beer Scene Magazine Brewery of the Year, 2014, 15, and 16. Two-time GABF Vienna Style Lager Medal winner. Also, they got a bronze for their smoked lager in 2016 as well, which I just drank. Saved a bottle from the show. Mm-hmm. Had it the other night. Still great.
Good, because I still have a bottle.
It's really good. To be honest with you, it tasted a lot smokier than I remember.
Really?
Yeah. I fucking poured it, took a big, fat swig of it, and I was like, wow, this is I haven't had a smoked beer since then. I love smoked beer, so maybe it was just kind of like a palate shock.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember it being that heavy on the smoke. On the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's me. Please drink it and let me know.
Okay, yeah.
Preferably bring it over so I can drink it. They have a large, expanded, and recently renovated tap room with 24 beers on tap, 18 of which are rotating and seasonal and or limited beers for all you folks into that stuff. They have a variety of beer styles from hoppy double IPAs to sessionable and poundable lagers. They have a free brewery tour on Saturdays. That's fun for you guys. They have a second location as well, so check it out, NeshaminyCreekBrewing.com. And good luck trying to spell it, because I don't know how to do it.
Is it actually Neshaminy or Neshiminy?
That's a peanut butter
pour. Is it Neshiminy? See, I thought it was we were saying Neshiminy, and then it's supposed to be Neshaminy, but I guess you're right, because...
Well, I thought you were just reading it, so you might...
I was, but it's spelled, you know, Neshaminy, right?
Amini?
S-H-A.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
It's not so, S-H-I.
Right.
So Neshaminy. I think you're right. I think it's Neshiminy.
Did somebody...
No.
I don't remember now!
Somebody wrote in and said we were saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's supposed to be how it looks. We were just, for some reason, changing it.
Did we have Homeboy on the
show? Yes, we did.
That doesn't mean that I retain information.
Right. Do you know how long ago that was?
You're sitting right there.
At least 2 weeks.
Jeremy, I'm sorry, dude. I forget. I forget
how to pronounce it.
But no, I think you're right. I think you pronounce it how it looks. It's Neshaminy.
Yes.
Which is why I'm saying it the right way.
Okay. That's why I was just clarifying.
It is confusing.
It's, yeah.
You should have called it a Manila envelope, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's available.
Some Philadelphia look, you know, thing. That's some cultural.
John's
thing.
Brewery.
Some John. Yeah, come drink at the John. Come drink the John's.
Come drink the John's.
We got 12 John's on tap. ready to pour it on your John's. All right, Barry, let's get back to you and your beers, dude. But I love the fact that you have all your recipes right in front of you, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It shows up.
I dig that. Nice. He's ready for it, man. He's like, nice. I got my things. Yep.
Right. I've listened to it long enough, so I'm not going to rely on my memory. I'm gonna, I have enough problems reading, let alone recalling things out of my head.
Right. Yep. Right.
Did they ask for this information when you went on the news, local news channel?
They did not, but I had a. I still had a piece of paper that they blocked out with a banner. That was pretty cool.
Special effects.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta love that, man. Yeah,
you gotta love the overlays.
With the details. What's your brew house size? What do you brew
on? We have a 15-barrel brew house.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
And what's fermenter? What's your configuration?
We have three 15-barrel fermenters and one 60-barrel fermenter.
What?
And then, yeah, that's it was originally designed for Helles, our lagering tank. But you know, the way things go, it turned into IPA machine.
The best plan.
Yeah, exactly. So, we had good intentions. And
so
then
that's your money press.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, right. Something like
that's
that.
The right. Bills, well, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Air quote.
Bills. You heard about the bills?
It fills the envelopes.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Employees get lucky envelopes.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Warren.
He's been writing that one for a week.
Did you start out saying you wouldn't? No, you weren't. That one of those.
That we wouldn't.
Make a name.
Oh, no. We knew. I still like IPAs. I just don't drink a lot of them.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. So, and then we have three 15-barrel Brights that we pretty much use for lager conditioning.
Okay. What is the Seattle beer scene like? I know we've touched on it a little bit, but is it as IPA heavy, excuse me, as it is down here?
It's pretty nutty, but I think there's almost in that kind of that Rainier category, just because it's such a popular beer. I think there's a good appreciation for lagers as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have that cloudy nonsense happening up there too?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay. You can't get enough clouds overhead. You got to have it in the glass.
Exactly.
Okay. What do you think of that? Just because it's a hot, I know there's so many people are just tired of hearing about it. I don't really give a shit because it's interesting. It's
Twitter
topical.
Games about it.
Yeah,
let's stop talking about it.
Yeah, they're fine as long as they're still balanced. You know, but I think we ended up we did one for our anniversary, kind of a New England influenced.
Bev
IPA.
Almost took a digger into the wall. By the way, with a good work on you.
Yep. Saved it.
But for me, I generally prefer clear beers.
Well, you said you're working on one.
We did one.
You did one.
So we did one kind of with a similar malt bill, a lot of calcium chloride in the for our salt.
This interview's over now, Warren. It's just you.
Right.
But instead of doing it with London Ale 3, we just used our standard American ale yeast.
Okay. Hmm.
So, you know, it was 20% oats, 5% raw wheat, and still dropped crystal clear, which I thought was great. I was super happy with it.
See,
so it had a lot of character in there.
Yeah. But that actually sounds really good.
Was it juicy, though?
Yes. Yes, it was.
No, they
doubt it.
The calcium chloride would round off the hop edge and let that juiciness come through, sure.
Definitely. Yeah. So I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And, but I'm okay with hazy. It's just when you get some of those, the cans that you're literally pouring some slurry out at the end. I'm not a fan of that.
That's a fail. That's a
yes.
That's
hazy, I totally understand that whole biotransformation and all that crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally okay with that in a beer, as long as it's not chunks of stuff floating in my beer.
Beer is a homogeneous product.
Yes, I think it's
you don't shake your milk in the morning. You don't shake your beer when you go to drink.
Yes. You might have done that a long time ago.
Unless it's a
Well, exceptional styles.
Right.
Considered, of course.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I'm just curious. I'm not going to wax on it because I've done it before, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. I like hearing about it.
How did it sell compared to your regular IPAs?
Still, our flagship IPA outsells it.
Okay.
Yep. But it's been received well. And the complaint that we get is it doesn't look juicy. Like, it doesn't look like orange juice.
Oh, my God.
But that's
what drives me up the wall.
Give him a frosted mug.
Yep, exactly.
See, that's what drives me up the wall. Like, it kind of reinforces my bias, I guess, about it, that people are just looking for cloudy. They don't care murky. They don't care how it tastes. They're looking for how it looks. So if something tastes the same, but it's clear, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I have had people return a beer with an inch of head on it and tell me the beer's flat.
Huh.
And it's like, it looks carbonated and it tastes carbonated. So what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What's this beer, Barry? We're having three new beers.
Yes. And a hoppy.
Yep. So the first one, yeah, this is our flagship IPA. This is our ENIAC Mosaic IPA.
I'm sorry, what is it?
ENIAC.
ENIAC.
Yes.
Is that a hop or a discover?
That is a. It's an acronym for the first computer. So
nerd stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I should have known that. I'm sort of a computer guy.
Yeah. Did you program it?
ENIAC? No. That was a different brand. That was like was that NCR or something or some other. I was an IBM.
You actually mined the silicone for.
Yeah. So this one, it's where I went to school was at Penn back for undergrad. Okay. So that's where this computer was invented.
Okay.
So, being an engineering student there, everything was ENIAC this, ENIAC, ENIAC, ENIAC. So right. It was just
ENIAC
again,
building.
Yeah, pretty much. They actually had a little museum where they put 1/100th of the actual computer in there, so it still took up a giant room. But
oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Man.
So again,
ENIAC.
Yep.
Okay.
Just pulling from those references, just. From where I grew up,
yeah, and I don't know if this is giving you too much credit, but was that focused on all the tech nerds up in Seattle? Like, hey, these computer people are really getting
this.
They
didn't get it, did they?
Or you just wanted to do it. And you didn't matter.
It didn't matter, okay. But it's always fun when somebody says, "So this is named after the computer," and you know,
free beer for you. Dude.
You know, they either work for Amazon or Microsoft or something like that. Yep,
or Boeing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because this is a giant tech industry up there, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I thought that would have been the most, laser-focused, marketing ever. You know what I mean? Let's get... Because, nerds are nostalgic, I think, by nature, right? So,
Could you call a beer like 00011101?
The names are in binary.
Yeah.
You get a 10% discount if you do it.
Okay, so tell us about this beer a little bit. What's in it?
So this is our flagship IPA.
The very one that, very fruity.
Yep.
The tropical dank. It's like I'm hesitant to give this descriptor because normally you want the everything to kind of roll from one thing to the next, right? But in the nose, I get tropical and then dank, but it's a line, a hard line, tropical dank. It doesn't really flow, which I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. This is why I needed to qualify it, but I've never had that in an IPA before.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like two very distinct flavors in the aroma, rather, coming up together.
Yeah, so this is our IPA that it's Mosaic focused.
Okay.
So it's our Mosaic IPA, and we end up using Cascade Centennial kind of as background to the Mosaic, but it primarily features Mosaic. It's kind of a, I guess, 2-to-1 Mosaic to Cascade / Centennial.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And so it's a pretty much a standard recipe with Great Western 2-row, 4% Crystal 30, 4% wheat malt. Yep.
Wow.
And what's the ABV?
This one runs right around, I think this one's 7.1.
Ooh.
Yep. Jeez, that's a big guy.
It is.
I was going to go the other end. Wow.
And no dextrose, all grains?
Yes, we do not put dextrose in it. Yep. So this is the flagship one that we do a couple of spin-offs of this. We do a grapefruit version of this.
Okay.
Between that one, the grapefruit and the ENIAC, those are usually the number one and number two best-selling beers in the tasting room.
Got to keep doing them, man.
Yep. And then
are you 100% draft or any package you can hold?
We just started doing very limited packaging.
So you have a remote bottler or somebody comes in?
No, we built our own bottling line.
Okay.
Of course you did.
Yep, of course.
That's easy. You're an engineer, of course.
Yes.
Structural.
Yep. We ended up buying four counter pressure fillers from Moorbeer and then slapped them onto slapped them onto a piece of wood and some hinges, and then we turned that into our small run bottling system. So ideally, the way that it's going to turn out, I'd like to turn that into the sour / Brett bottling system as we grow. Mm-hmm. But for the vast majority of our sales are draft only right now.
Sure.
Okay.
And then you saw the bottles you do make are just sold at your place?
We do some small accounts as well. The specialty bottle shops.
You have a UPC on your bottles.
Yes. Cool. Yep. Yep. We had to do some of that.
Good, a real deal. Okay.
Well, we're something.
And what is this beer called on the shelf?
It's called the ENIAC Mosaic IPA.
Right, you told me that.
Yes.
ENIAC.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you think of it, Tasty?
It's good. I like it. It's nice and dry.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one kind of caught us by surprise in terms of how well it was received. But yeah, last year at the Washington Beer Awards, it ended up taking the gold medal for American Style IPAs.
Wow,
so nice.
We were
congrats on that, dude.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Because it's dry. If you're judging IPAs, if they're like all sweet, you don't want it.
Yep, and it's really it's dry. This one was pretty interesting because we actually found ourselves dialing back the amount of hops that we put in because it was just getting too mishmashed, and so we actually cut back a little bit here and there, and it starts like certain flavors, like you said, the dank and the tropical, start expressing themselves a little bit more.
Sure.
Otherwise, it just tastes very, hoppy, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, which isn't
too
always
hoppy,
a good thing.
Yep, exactly.
You're actually trying to get flavors,
yes,
not IBUs.
Yep, okay. Exactly. Yeah, right. This one, we only throw in.
So that's how you do it.
Yeah.
With most of our hoppy beers, like this one in particular, there's only 17 IBUs we get from 60 minute editions.
Hmm.
Everything else is Whirlpool and dry hop.
Whoa.
Yep. Is that by recipe, or are you lab tested?
We do lab testing, so we send our samples out to a place in Oregon, and he has a little whatever you call those, a little spread that he runs a certain amount of
mass
tests.
Spec, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this one clocks in, I think, at 68 IBU.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Oh, it's good to know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can calibrate to this because we know it's a
lab tested.
Yeah. This tastes like 68 IBUs.
How did you know?
Barry told me.
That's really good. So it's interesting that you decided to back off the IBUs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say, well, let me just build the base a little bit more, like maybe get a higher finishing gravity to offset that.
Yeah, but what I want to do is I want to keep it dry, but I didn't want it to get too alcoholic. This is definitely at the higher end of what I prefer, and I definitely only have like a half one of these before before I go back to light lagers.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of 6.5 and below.
Yep, right. Absolutely.
6.2 to 6.5.
Yep.
That's a good tasting IPA.
So nice. Mm-hmm. I can see why you do well with it.
Thank Absolutely.
You. This goes in the 60 barrel tank, huh?
Yep. Yeah, so we'll do. Right now we're triple batching, but it's going to eventually go to quad batching. So that'll be makes for two fun days.
Right.
Yep.
2 days of IPA.
2 days. So how long going to be lag between the first batches and the last?
We'll do it over. So 2 days. So when we're triple batching, we'll do a double batch the first day,
and then
which involves me getting in at whatever 3 a.m. to start, and then Josh finishes it up the second batch, and then we just do a standard regular brew day the next day.
Like
so
6 to noon or something? Or?
Yep, pretty much. Right. Yep.
Cool.
It's like Tasty's been there before.
Well, I just know,
yeah.
I know that people have a problem like waiting too long to put the last one in. Or,
that the yeast growth is in different stages. So if you can catch it within the first 24 hours, it's not that big of a deal.
Cool.
Oh, between when adding more wort to the...
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a shock. My own thing I learned some time ago is when you put the yeast into the fermenter, they look around and go like, okay, I need to either create more of myself or I'm going to go right to work. Well, then they get all confused and like, wait a minute, I'm right to work. I got this other wort here. And then they have to they stall, I think.
Yeah, so I think you have a 18 to 36 hour lag is what kind of research I've found. So we try to keep it around 24 hours, and we're pushing in.
Okay, so when you do your first batch or whatever, right, and you pitch your yeast, and then you have 24 hours in what you guys have calibrated to add the rest of the wort.
Yes,
or else things will get a little weird.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's worked well for us. We haven't had things go poorly. So
clearly not.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
right.
we're fortunate on that side.
This one is definitely not poorly.
Thank you.
Right. What are we drinking? What's the second one here?
This one probably.
Oh, that's let me guess.
That's
this is the sour beer.
Yes, it is.
Wow, no. That is pepper. That is a pepper nose, man.
Yeah, it's got a great pepper aroma.
Yep.
God, that's great.
Not black pepper, but yeah.
Yeah, so this is our two pepper pale, which we use. The base beer is our hoppy session beer, kind of like a session IPA, but not.
So what's the ABV in this?
This one's is 5%.
5%. That your session beer is 5%.
That's
your session beer is 5%.
Yes,
that's a pepper beer, dude.
Capsaicin right to the back of your throat.
but not
a lot.
What peppers are in there?
So we use a habanero and shishito.
Okay.
So Japanese shishito peppers, the green peppers you'll find deep fried with sea salt.
Yeah.
At a lot of restaurants.
They're great. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you see shishito peppers on the menu, fucking get them.
Yeah,
they're amazing. They're really great. Yeah, they're just like fire roasted, and you can put like lemon. They put lemon, whatever.
Do they have salt. Kind of like a red kind of bell pepper flavor?
No.
To them?
It tastes a lot like this. To be honest,
it tastes like a green pepper, but without that bell pepper character in there. So you definitely get it's vegetal, but like grassy and citrusy, and then that plays really well. We take the habaneros and we de-seed them because we want to get a little bit of heat in there because people when they see habanero in a beer, they a little bit of burn, but it really complements the kind of that really fruity, like a very distinct habanero flavor in that beer.
My burp is fucking pepper. Like I feel like I'm eating pepper, but
it's got a great pepper flavor.
Yeah, I like the flavor.
And you know, I've had this shishitos a few times, and I feel like that is the flavor essence of these, and then maybe the habanero is the heat on them.
Yep.
Like in my experience, the shishitos haven't been super spicy.
No, they say 1 in 10 is a spicy one. So relatively speaking, they're not the most hot.
That is a very well, I hate to say it, well balanced.
Yeah.
Because that's just an overused word. Well balanced pepper beer.
Yeah. Well, I think it definitely takes some attention to how you add the peppers and what you do to them in order to make it balanced between the heat and the pepper flavor.
Yeah. So what we end up doing is it's manual chopping, but we'll, per barrel, we end up adding, we start out with about 150 grams of each into the beer, and but
it's not a lot per 10 barrels.
Per barrel.
Oh, per barrel. Okay, sorry.
And then
is that a lot?
150 grams.
Yeah, it's only 6 ounces.
No, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. But the pepper flavor goes really far. It's really easy to overdo, so we're very cautious on how far we push it.
When you and I'm going to derail you right now. When you were planning this beer and working on this beer, how much did you add? Did you add too little or did you add too much that first time?
We always erred on the light side. It's the same mentality as you can. It's better to undersalt than oversalt because you can't take that salt out.
Yeah.
So I think we started out at about 100 grams, and then we found a sweet spot about 150.
Okay.
But usually it ends up being that we have to add more. So this one ends up, I think, being about 200 grams of habanero and maybe 180 grams of shishito peppers.
Oh wow. Okay. I thought that was all in total. Jeez. Okay.
Yep. So that's the total amount.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we add a touch more to bump it up here and there.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so I like the heat level. It's really nice.
It's perfect.
It's enjoyable.
Because you get that little prickly, but then the pale ale kind of comes, like the malt kind of comes to the rescue.
Yeah, and it persists,
and just
but it
lifts everything up.
It's not hot. It's not
Like a little bit on the back, like a soft palate, just a bit. And then maybe one or two tingles every now and then on the tongue. But that's it. It still tastes like a very well-made beer at the base. Yeah. And the peppers are coming through, and it's not offensive, and you could actually just have a pint of it. Do you serve it in pints at the...
Yes, we do. Okay. This is one of those beers. If you like pepper beers, they're fine. Like, people love it. This is the one beer that people always try to say, well, when's the two pepper coming back on tap? When's that coming back on tap?
And what brewery have we ever had in here that have said customers are demanding our pepper beer?
That's pretty rare.
No fucking nobody.
Usually they're too hot.
Well, I think it was a lot of, like, the you know, IBU wars of like the early 2000s, right? Where how many IBUs can we cram? Like, I have my IBU swinging right now. You know what I mean? And which would be a good, which would be a good IBU.
Low hanging IBUs.
Yeah, there you go. And that was the pepper beer phenomenon of like the late 90s, I think, too.
Yeah.
But this is great.
Yeah, just gentle hands and everybody's happy.
You have gentle hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The man with a gentle hand.
Yep.
Do the peppers go into the kettle, the fermenter?
No, these are all secondary. So we'll put them into a little sack and then just drop them in.
Okay. I get the tail end to ferment?
After it's done fermenting. So we can actually take our base beer and just pull off some on the side and then add the peppers in. Right away.
Oh, that's how you do it. Okay.
Yep.
Right. So, okay.
Yep.
So you have like a bright tank that you transfer your pail from or something?
A 30-gallon Spidell fermenter that we got from More Beer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're buying a lot of stuff from them.
Nice. 30. So how much do you make? You make 30 gallons at a time?
We'll do that, but then we've also made full fermenters as well.
Okay.
Wow.
Yep. So it's just you're depends.
That's a lot of pepper.
Yep, definitely.
You got to make what they want.
Yep. Right?
Yeah, it's a really nice food beer.
Yeah.
So people just say every time they always want a steak or they want a hamburger.
A burger? I was going to say a fucking burger right now would be great.
Have you
Dungeness
noticed?
Dungeness crab it'd be good with.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Have you had to compensate with the pepper variation in terms of heat and flavor contribution?
Yep, exactly. So that's why we start out with that 150 grams when mm-hmm. we added originally, because that seems to be the low end for the pepper variations. Mm-hmm. But what we do is after we cut out the seeds and the ribs, we will actually add anywhere between five, like per barrel, five and six habaneros that are just de-seeded, but you keep the ribs in,
yeah.
And that's what gives you that heat, because if you don't mm-hmm. put those in, you get no heat mm-hmm. at all.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So take the seeds out, but you leave that white
yep,
rib.
Exactly.
Yeah, the thick.
And then how long will you give that before you might add more?
It's usually about 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
So, because we chop it up and it gets pretty fine. Mm. So.
It's good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I like it.
Yeah, it was a unique one. I thought you guys might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of want to finish it before going on to the next one, but...
Can we get some burgers in here?
Yeah. Bev, we want burgers for dinner. No, she's shaking her head no already.
How about In-N-Out? Come on.
Yeah. Bev, go wait in line for In-N-Out, please, for us.
Yeah, I'll be back at 10:30.
Okay.
That's okay. We can sit here and just talk about pepper beer until you get back. Send Sam.
Sure.
Send Abby.
Send Abby?
My Abby?
No. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah.
I like this beer, man. Okay, but we should move on to the next one. What's the last one?
The last one is our...
I'm drooling.
is our raspberry sour.
Raspberry sour.
This is the one that people are... We just saw a bunch of orders come through today, but this one, I think, it's been poised to kind of jump, especially with the sun that's been coming out in Seattle now.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, it's a blonde ale that we kettle sour and then raspberry puree.
And then when do you add the peppers?
Oh.
the pepper seems to be persisting.
Yeah.
That's definitely a palate reset.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's good.
Smell the pepper beer and then smell that beer. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Super clean.
How do you get it so clear after adding the puree?
It drops clear. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know how
time
it happens,
temperature.
But yeah, time, temperature, and well, tenderness.
And gravity. It did tender hands.
Smooth hands Barry over
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah. He even gets the pectins to settle out.
Yep.
Calm down, pectins.
Yeah.
Barry's here.
Don't worry. Got these hands right here.
How long have you been making this beer?
We started it, I think, last year, just kind of playing around. We wanted to get a sour beer on, and obviously, being a small brewery, we don't have a lot of extra ability to have our own separate equipment for a full sour project, even though that's something that we're working on now. We actually have a couple barrels that are souring old weight and C style. But this one, we just wanted to do it because people were asking for it. Like, do you have a sour?
Oh,
but
wow.
You know, the thing that my personal thought about kettle sours is they're nice, but they can be a little one dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I've
heard that before too.
Yep.
Yeah,
but it's so
a common complaint.
Then we wanted to add some something else into it. So raspberry seemed to be a nice complement. So it almost has that tartness of a unripe raspberry.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Very nice.
Yeah. So when you kettle sour, what do you do for that?
We have a proprietary yeast blend. Or lactobacillus blend that we don't really go by. It's actually Nancy's yogurt and Good Belly probiotics.
Okay,
you get that at the Asian supermarket. Also,
yeah, it's been 5,000 years.
I get that at Fred Meyer.
Okay,
so you get a lot of lactobacillus from the yogurt, but there's other cultures in there that I think add a distinct tang to it.
Yes. Okay.
Like for better, or for lack of a better term, a little yogurty tang, but it's not overpowering.
Mm-hmm. Like a Greek yogurt thing almost,
yes.
too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that clean, like, crisp tartness.
Yep, exactly.
If that's a descriptor.
Is it pretty consistent? I mean, if you use
This is, we just got another batch of this done last week, and it's, it turns out pretty well, and it's much cheaper than buying a pitch of lactobacillus from other people, so it works out well.
Does it take overnight? How long do you let it sour for in the kettle?
2 days.
Okay.
Overnight, usually it'll drop to about 3-4, but then we'll wait another day, and it usually the pH drops to about 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. So what do you do? So you make the wort,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it in the kettle. Well, it's in the kettle, and then what?
Then we will heat it up to 180 degrees just to pasteurize it. We actually started just bringing it up to a boil just so that we knew that it was everything in there was dead.
At least 180.
Yeah, okay. At least 180. Okay. And then we just chill it in the kettle, whirlpool it through our plate chiller.
Okay.
And then once it reaches about 115 degrees, we'll pitch in the yogurt and the Good Belly.
So you just scrape the yogurt in, like from the container?
Yep.
Okay.
Just dump it.
Still in the kettle?
Yes, it's still in the kettle.
Yeah, like CO2 top it?
I forgot about that. We purged the kettle out.
The lies. The lies already.
Yeah, finally comes out.
Yeah. Well, flu or something? How do you keep that CO2 ahead on top?
Smooth hands, Barry.
So we'll purge it out. So we give it a good 10-minute purge from the bottom, one of the outlets of the kettle. Oh. So we'll just run CO2 in there, let it purge out for 5 or 10
through
minutes.
Through the wort and just let it come up.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll purge it before we fill it, but even as we're filling, even as after it's full of wort, we'll still bubble CO2 through. So we do that pretty regularly.
Okay.
And then
give a positive pressure so that there's no.
We'll actually stop, but our kettle seals.
It seals
pretty much. We have a vent that goes out, but the vent stack is, pretty high up. So we're not overly concerned about that.
Okay.
Too much mixing
about air coming in or
exactly.
Whatever.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
That's neat, man. Okay, so then you're just dumping the shit in. You're not doing anything special.
Dump yogurt. It, mix it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I feel like we've mentioned this before, but I don't know. Maybe
not. Breweries adding yogurt or probiotic pills.
That's common.
Yeah, that's common.
Yeah, there was a paper I saw from one of the CBCs, I believe, and I believe it was work between Y-East and Breakside. So they talked about that originally, so that's where we got that idea from.
Yeah, I've heard of breweries buying a bunch of capsules and just breaking them apart and sprinkling the powder into the kettle.
Yeah, dude, I had to take those probiotics after coming back from Hawaii. I don't know if you know, I went to Hawaii.
Oh, that
like
time?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got fucking sick, dude, and I had the shits. And
too much poo-poo, la 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 la.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Too much fucking poi. I don't know, whatever.
Poi.
But, and I was looking, I was like, lactobacillus. Oh, yeah, you should buy it. People should make beers with them. Apparently, people have been. And apparently, I've been talking to them.
Yeah. You had a good idea.
Well, if you drink a lot of sour beer, you're going to get, inherently going to get, probiotics. Part of the deal.
Yeah, you're drinking it. If you had a sour at the Rare Barrel, you would have had your probiotics.
That's true. I should have been drinking more sour beers. But I like the addition of the raspberries because, I think some of that tannin kind of comes in, gives a little base.
Yep.
And the color, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great.
Pink.
It looks like a chick beer.
Well, and raspberries help add.
Wow. Whoa. Tasty. Jeez.
Hey, it's the man show.
Let's ask Bevo if she likes it.
Yeah. Is this a chick beer, Bev? She doesn't even have her headphones on. She doesn't work.
But she glared.
I have
the Target website doesn't need.
I hear
need.
Everything you're saying. My headphones are turned up. They're just not on my head because they hurt my ears.
Why?
Earrings.
We should
take earrings.
They stab
headphones.
Me in the neck.
Well, we're asking if this is a chick beer, or it could be enjoyed by any sex.
It's probably enjoyed by any sex.
Okay. We got Bev to say sex on the air, by the way.
Yeah. She enjoys any sex. That's what I heard.
We're just going to edit this together in some weird, like. I enjoy Zach.
She said it.
Yeah, that was Bev. Fucking smooth hands Bev.
Give Sam too much credit.
Smooth hands Bev.
Yeah.
Stop it.
She never said that.
No. No one's ever said that.
No.
Have you seen
literally
her hands?
No one.
Yeah. Yeah.
More callous than mine.
Well, Barry, this is a good beer, dude. I like it.
Thanks.
And this is, I imagine, well-received as well.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as the sun comes out, it's people.
Sours out.
Exactly. Right? It just leaps to number one selling in the tasting room.
That's cool.
Even over the IPA.
If you ever want a can of beer, you get one of those people with their canning thing, show up, can that beer.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of requests for bottling, too. But, those bottlings. 22-ounce bottles.
Well, pain in the ass, dude.
I hear you made a four-head filler.
Yes, we did.
What's the ABV on this guy?
That one runs, I think, 5.5 as well. 5.4, okay. 5.5.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have 3, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm. And do you just finish out with your typical ale yeast that you use for everything else?
Yep, just USO5. That's what we use.
JP, now you can go back to the jalapeno beer.
I'm smelling right now, dude.
It's so good when you come back. You're starting over again. It's great.
Wait, it's even better when it comes back? Where is it?
It says 2P on it.
2P.
If I just smell on it.
Is that it? Yeah, smell that for me.
Yeah.
Smell this wiener-shaped bottle.
Your nose right in there.
Yep, that's it.
It wasn't, and then it was.
Look, I'm a very conflicted individual.
Oh, we know.
Pepper beer.
Yeah, that's a good pepper beer.
Pepper after the sour. It's, It oddly enough, it focuses other flavors that I didn't notice before.
Yeah, the sour, it's different. The pH of this of the kettle beer, you know, resets the palate.
Try it. Take a sip of the sour beer.
Right.
Or the yogurt beer, whatever you want to call it. And then take a sip of the fucking pepper beer. It's different.
It is different than going from the IPA to the pepper beer.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's different in a... I mean, it's... There's like a little dimension there. Like more green, more the skin
right.
pulp comes through.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really like the base beer for the two pepper because we started putzing around with Victory Malt, but that stuff is incredible.
Oh, okay.
I really like that stuff. It has a really, really nice finish and a lot of character to it. So I think and I just got some on my palate and there. But
did you say that the base beer for the pepper beer is just your pale ale?
Yeah, we call it it's like a hoppy pale.
Okay.
So it's Citra and Simcoe base.
Do you separate it before the dry hop?
No, I think the hop character is it supports the flavor of the peppers because of, especially with the habanero the habanero because of the citrusy qualities that has. So with the Citra and Simcoe, I think they work really nice together.
Yeah.
There's my burp. There's my pepper beer.
I agree.
Coming they back sound up. Really nice together.
You know what? Speaking of spice, Barry.
Ooh. Can Smooth Hands Barry read it?
Smooth Hands, do you want to read? Would you like to do the honors of reading the Adam and Eve live read?
I have problems reading, but I can do it.
It's all in caps,
ooh.
So you have to scream it.
Right. Yeah, at the top of your lungs. Yeah.
You don't have to read it.
I can read it.
Would you like to?
I could.
You could.
I'm feeling some peer pressure on me.
No, okay.
It's totally fine.
Just if you've dreamt of reading it one time.
Right.
Otherwise.
Some people do dream of it.
Right. And your
but
hands
I know
are real smooth.
Listener,
you know, like
so
you
got to
practice.
Know.
Like yeah. You've heard it many times.
But it's fine. Well, I'll just do it. Let's let clumsy voice Jason read it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me drink some pepper beer. Why? What? Who am I? What
spice
am I saying?
Spice up your voice
right
a little bit.
Yeah. God, imagine if Doc was here. He'd be like eating his Zantac pills or whatever.
Zantac?
The spicy, the regurgitation.
He has a pill for everything. Lactose, heat.
Boners.
You said it up there.
Yeah. Air.
Yeah, enthusiasm. Lots of powder. But
staying
it's
awake.
Fine. It's the same.
Okay.
Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they're backing up that promise. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code BNARMY at checkout. Now, backed by popular demand, for a limited time only, you'll also get a free Big O kit, Barry. And who doesn't love the Big O?
What's that?
We don't know.
He doesn't know.
That's the thing. I don't know either, but I play along with everybody.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. I love it.
Yeah. I would...
I like Cheerios.
I would ask my wife, but she doesn't know either. Adam and Eve's...
It's been years.
Yeah. You all right, Beth?
She knows how to fake it.
You good? Yeah. Her last boyfriend apparently is really good at it. Adam and Eve's Big O kit includes their exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. So now you
mini.
Don't have, yeah. Well, it's
that's
look,
good.
That double
helps,
D
that
batteries.
Helps the comparison.
Double D batteries area. Are really expensive. Yeah. So the mini ones just like watch battery size, I'm sure. So you can save on batteries.
Oh, I thought it's so. By the time I show up, she's impressed.
That's probably what it is.
Right. It's
yeah.
like, hey, see how small that thing is.
We should rewrite this copy. Like, give your spouse a new confidence, newfound confidence
right.
in his, fucking in his dick swinging.
A toy for you and confidence for him.
You're right. Which is really who.
I'm literally shocked this company still sponsors us.
It's all good things. Have you figured out if we can tour their warehouse yet?
Right. Yeah. Where are we going?
I really need you to do this.
Okay. No. The answer is no.
Can I design my own product? Come on, just talk to these people.
Well,
I like that you think I have like the inside deals with
right.
them. Like,
yeah, your weekly
maybe
conversation.
I need to do that. Maybe I need to like go around you.
Yeah.
I don't think she wants you behind
her.
Casey's going to reach around.
You know what I think it is? The mini vibrator should be a 3-inch long 3D print of Tasty's little
fucking... Oh, man, the Tasty guy.
The Tasty cartoon.
Hey, whatever turns him on. I don't care.
I mean, I think that would be...
Oh, man, can you see one of those little standing on the dishes?
Yeah. Pass me the Tasty. And it's like Wi-Fi enabled, too.
Oh, so you could turn it on and off from your phone?
So you can be... So I can be playing Destiny and then doing my husbandly duty at the same time.
Yeah. Hey, Taryn, you're welcome.
Yeah. Are you using the microwave? Because the connection broke.
Yeah. Is it on?
I'm going to have a Tasty who sets his beer down. That beer could get in the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. Yes,
for sure.
That's
well,
true.
I think the beer could be out
more,
a little bit.
It needs
bit.
To be more like more torpedo looking.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to lose some weight. Then,
sounds like you need to do some research.
Hey, yeah. I got ideas. Again, yeah. We need to get with these people.
Yeah, I'm right on top of that.
When they get the 50% off one item, I want mine to be the 50%. The item
oh.
Yeah.
That would be great. I think we could have the sales numbers to do that.
Okay.
Just a little 3-inch silicone vibrating
Let's
buzzing Tasty.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe he says words. Maybe he says shit. Like,
yep.
You want a low hug?
Yeah. Here's your low hug.
Or when you turn it up, because you can turn, it's like, yep. Like every volume, yeah, it's like, yep. You're at 8 yups. You're doing fucking. You're doing good.
It right vibrates there. Faster the more you say yep.
Yeah, right. So like 2 yups, you'd be like yep. But 8 yups, you're like yep.
Who's
yep,
your
yep,
daddy?
Yep, yep.
Who's your tasty? That's how you get it.
That's right. Yeah. I think we got something here. Adam and Eve's Big O kit does not include a mini Tasty, but it does include their exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. We've covered that. So now you've got a new way to get her off. Off of you, I guess. Get back to what matters most, video games.
Destiny.
What girl wouldn't love that?
I wonder.
You'll also get your entire order sent to you for free. So hurry up, take advantage of this limited time offer. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else. When you choose that one item at 50% off, you'll get free shipping plus the Big O kit, which includes the Climax gel and the mini vibrator. You won't find this deal anywhere else. On the Brewing Network. Just use offer code BNARMY at checkout. That's BNARMY. You guys know that because you type it in Twitter all the time. AdamandEve.com, BNARMY. Use that at checkout. Get your johns on, girl. All right, we are going to take a break, Barry. We're going to say goodbye to Barry for his segment, but you're more than welcome to stay for the rest of the show. We have
Sounds
beer
good.
News. Actually, I want you to stay because we have beer news, and there's some weird conflicts that you posted a little bit about it on your Facebook page.
And I like news.
We're cyber friends.
Yeah, we are.
But not real friends.
No, not at all.
I'm having a hard time not taking a swing at him, to be completely honest
good
with you.
Good thing there's a big table in between you two.
I got a long reach.
That's true.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Marliave. That's how you say his
Whoa.
Name, right?
Marliave.
Malalava.
Marliave.
From Flat Tail Brewing. Talk about his brain cancer awareness program or whatever he's doing. I don't know. I think he's lonely. But we're going to talk to him. So stay tuned. It's the session. We'll be right back.
To the Brewcasters. On the Brewing Network.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to bruise their vast selection.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness.
It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, yeah. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah!
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California Brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're friggin' awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in 4-pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Hey there, BN Army. Have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at hoptech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft line.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zanishev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn the cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Hey, motherfuckers, this is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to The Session on the fucking Bruin Network. Fuck you.
Wow, Dougie's angry.
Still?
I don't know. He sounded fucking angry right there.
Huh. Maybe we should have him back on.
Just purge his anger.
Let it out, Doug.
Let it all out, Doug. Whatever you want to do. Hey, Barry, did you know there are more than 5,000 breweries in the U.S.?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
I just learned that right now.
Well, did you know that the craftbeer.com brewery finder, published by the Brewers Association, has them all?
Wow.
It's like a whole Pokemon thing over there.
Wow, cool.
It's the most robust U.S. brewery finder, whether you're traveling or exploring your own city. You can find breweries by current location or search in other states. You'll find directions and contact info straight from the brewery finder. You also find breweries' social handles on the Brewery Finder, so you can keep up on the latest news from your favorite breweries. Visit craftbeer.com and check out the Brewery Finder. And if I could pronounce things properly, it would sound much better than Brewery.
The Brewery.
Brewery. Speaking of proper pronunciation, my close personal friend, Mr. Dave Millar, is on the phone from Flat Tail Brewing Company in Corvallis, Oregon.
Yeah, God, I just hate you every more. Every time I hear your voice, JP, every little more.
Every more, huh?
Every more. It's been a long day. Fuck you.
Good one. Good one, Dave. How you doing, buddy? You sound terrible.
Oh, I'm just living the dream. Well, you know, yeah, it is me, after all. That hasn't changed, so.
That's true. I don't want it to change. To be honest with you.
Yeah, every morning I wake up, and it's like, maybe today I'm not going to be me. And then I am.
And then you go, oh, shit. And then you reach for the cyanide.
There's always tomorrow.
Well, clearly not yet.
So a couple of weeks ago, or probably longer than that, you went on a bike ride because you have cancer or something. What did you do? Remind me.
That one's next year.
Okay, okay, good.
You have it scheduled already?
So I did a little motorcycle marathon for the National Brain Tumor Society, and it went awesome. And you guys have been awesome enough to let me give a shout out to our sponsors that helped us make it so amazingly successful in our first year.
Perfect. Okay. So well, I'm shout away,
calling
man.
Up the strokes and the egos. Oh, I'll shout, but I'll shout when I'm damn well ready to. JP,
let it all out.
Not a moment earlier.
Let it out, Dave. Because these are the things that we're talking about. Come on, I'm talking to you.
Are they?
Come on.
Are they? Are they?
Not yet.
So, who did you have sponsoring your travel there, bud?
So we had over 40 individual sponsors. Wow. But the guys we're going to focus on tonight are the people who donated $250 or more, which is 21 different donors. And what was so impressive about this was I put this whole thing together basically either sitting in my underpants on my couch at home or at the bar with a pint of beer in my hand. And it was really just emailing close friends in the industry and like, hey, can you kind of throw some cash? And people came through in an awesome way.
Oh, great.
We actually, yeah, our goal was to raise $5,000. We raised $8,260.
Wow.
Yeah. So
man,
next
that's
year.
Really cool.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a great cause. The NBTS is a wonderful charity to work with. They just killed it. And we could not have done it without fantastic partners like Drumroll, please. Belmont Station.
Sorry, Belmont
Wait,
Station.
Portland, Oregon.
I stopped all over that. Belmont
you
Station.
Were motorboating Belmont Station.
I was giving you a drum roll.
I thought you said Bail Bonds Station.
Have you heard of Drumroll?
That's Dave's personal sponsor.
This is going to be the longest ad read of all time.
No, Warren will shut up. Don't worry about it.
Belmont Station, Portland's premier bottle shop, and gosh, and there it is. See, you ruined it. I'm going to have to go in the back room and do my, like, speech exercises now.
There you go.
Right, so Belmont Station.
Yeah.
Bierstein out of Eugene, another one of Oregon's best places to grab a pint. Cascade Floors, they do epoxy floor coverings for breweries, food service industry, etc. Our buddies right next door at Block 15 Brewery came through with $250. Corvallis' Foundation Engineering, if you need your foundation engineered, go to them, because it's in the name.
It
right
sounds
there.
Like it, yeah.
General Distributors out of Portland, they cover our Salem North Territory. They do an awesome job for us, and they came through with a big donation as well. Everybody loves and knows, and Coffee out of Eugene. Thanks, Jamie, for coming through. Another $250. Two Town Cider House. Another right next door to us in Corvallis. They came through with $250. Bigfoot Beverages out of Eugene, $500.
Wow.
Bam.
Nice.
Yeah, and they cover Roseburg, Eugene, the coast, et cetera. Another fantastic craft-only distributorship. California Craft Distributors from your home turf came in $250, just like Cold Fire Brewing out of Eugene. They're a brand-new brewery, and they're making some of the cleanest, most consistently awesome beer in Eugene right now. Fresh Hops out of Wren, Oregon, purveyor of whole flower hops, came through $250. Faction Brewing, who obviously needs no introduction. Thank you so much, Roger. Roger came through with $500.
Wow.
I basically shot him a text message, and he came back and just went for the big donation. So,
my man Roger.
Yeah, Roger. Yahats Brewing out of Yahats, Oregon. $250. Thank you so much. Roscoe's out of Portland. One of the best craft beer bars ever, and also an amazing whiskey selection if you're ever in the neighborhood. Royale Brewing and Green Bottling came in with another $250. The last of our $250 donors include my dad. So thanks, Dad.
What's his name? You got to give his name. What the hell's your dad's name?
Oh, but if I tell you his name, it's just gonna make the Marlioff thing even worse. Thank you to Hobart Chester Marlioff.
Wow. Hobart Chester.
Yeah.
That's pretty old school.
I know.
I mean, it sounds like he was alive in the mid-1800s.
Right.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe even a little earlier, depending.
And he settled on Dave for you.
Yeah, well, I think after a life of being Hobart Chester, he was like a boy named Sue, right? He's like, no fucking way I'm going to do that shit to him.
He didn't change his last name, so he still did it to you.
No shit. He still misled me. I got an envelope of cash signed the Chode Jugglers from the kitchen. So thank you to our kitchen staff
for juggling chodes.
Juggling chode. And
we're
donating money.
There.
And it's only when they see your name on the ticket, Barry. Our two biggest donors, which both of them just absolutely blew us away, the Corvallis Water Street Market, home of DiMaggio's New York Pizza, Taco Vino, Sada Sushi, donated $1,000.
Wow.
They were our biggest cash donor. Thanks so much. That was just, you know, that was the difference between barely making over our goal and really knocking it out of the park. And then our first and probably our most involved sponsor, Hanson's BMW Motorcycle out of Medford, Oregon, they not only donated $600, but they also gave me two sets of tires. They let me call up halfway through my ride when I thought my bike was about to explode and walked me through some technical issues. Really just fantastic partners from start to finish.
Great support.
That's awesome, dude.
How many miles did you actually end up getting?
So I made it almost exactly 1,000 miles.
Wow.
My GPS said 1,005 miles. My odometer said 999.8.
And you didn't go
Which I didn't
block.
Realize until the next morning when I looked at it.
Just around the block.
GPS is more accurate, okay?
There you go.
Going with that one.
Yeah. Let's go digital
or 1,000 miles.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's digitalog.
Well, congratulations, Dave. It sounds like you were finally successful in something that you tried to do.
Of course, because I tried to do something that didn't have any possibility of making me money, and it worked out great.
Yeah. So you're doing it again next year?
Yep, we're going to do it again next year, and next year I'm setting the goal at $15,000.
There you go.
And I'd really like to break 20. But, you know, I guess we'll be happy with 15. If anyone wants to donate, you can give me an email, dave@flattailbrewing.com. We're going to start organizing for this actually pretty soon. August is when letters are going to start going out. It's going to be a little bit less thrown together than it was last year, so I think we have a good shot at just making it even better. Yeah, I know. But, you know, you got to dream, right?
That's true. Are you going to brew a beer for this occasion?
I am not brewing a beer for this ride, although I am also going to be riding a dirt bike across Oregon off-road to raise awareness and money for wilderness therapy programs. So that'll be happening in September, and I'm sure I'll call you guys in and let you know about that, too.
That sounds great. I look forward to
that does mean more mouth beer.
More mouth beer.
So now it's going to be a tradition. Mm-hmm.
Great.
I'll bring a poncho for Bevo and the mixer table.
Yeah, thanks.
Please do. Well, no, in all seriousness, Dave, thank you very much for doing this project and taking this on and helping to raise awareness and more importantly, helping raise money for a really good cause. So I appreciate that.
And thank you guys, by the way, because being able to tell folks that, you know, we can kind of yak their name on the Brewing Network has a big impact, and there were a lot of people that maybe wouldn't have donated otherwise without knowing that they'd get that little marketing cookie at the end, and it's just awesome to know that you guys are there to do that, and, you know, no hesitation at all, just jumped on it. So thank you guys so much, too.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime we can essentially do nothing
and still get praised, we're into it.
Just like in bed, right?
Pretty much, yeah. That's why we were talking about just the Bluetooth vibrators. So you can be in one room. It all works out great.
Everyone wins.
I mean, that's just... I mean, then Emma would never have to see me.
Right. That's what I'm saying. See, you get me.
I gotta get on that. Unintended.
All right, Dave. We'll let you go, man. But, again, congratulations on the big win and surviving the ride and all that kind of fun stuff, man.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, homie. We'll see you, dude.
Suck it, JP.
I'm full.
Oh, well,
it's not a lot.
Guys, right. It's great.
Are we on the air right now? That sucks. All right, Dave, get out of here.
Later.
Oh, hey, Dave. Dave. Damn it.
Oh, he hung up on you.
I wanted to fuck with him.
Too late.
Didn't work.
Well, you can fuck with him better if he's not answering back.
Well, that's true.
Just unload on him.
I wanted to hang up on him, though. I wanted to go, oh, wait, hey, Dave, hold on. And he'll go, yeah, what's up? And then I wanted to hang up on him.
Oh, he went to get the upper hand.
Yeah. Mm. I want to do that whole thing. Like that. What are we drinking right now, by the way?
Berry. Oh, this is our peanut butter porter.
Peanut butter porter.
Yeah, it's our imperial porter that we do with PB2.
With what?
How do you introduce PB2. The peanut butter?
It's powdered peanut butter that's powdered. Centrifuged to remove all the oil.
Okay.
So,
just the proteins?
No, just oil. So there's it's all
or
the
just oil.
Yep, just the oil. So that all the remaining stuff goes into a jar, and then we throw that into a beer.
Huh? Tastes like fucking peanut butter.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam's peanut butter, not like Jif.
Right.
Yes. Right. But that's how we describe it. Some people think it tastes expected to taste like a peanut butter cup. But
what if you're allergic to peanut butter?
Are you allergic to peanuts?
I am.
No, oh, you shouldn't.
Whoops.
No, I've had it. I've never had a peanut beer.
Yeah.
That had any sort of allergic reactions whatsoever.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, so, I've had sips since you told me.
Yep. So we noted on the board. So if anybody that's allergic to peanuts looks at it and they say, "I want the peanut butter porter."
They taste nuts.
Yeah. So the board in Seattle really helps Tasty here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have the flavor.
You get it now.
For whatever I'm allergic to in peanut, but that's not in there.
Got it.
It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, so you're saying that the...
I would say that you might add, even though it says it on the board, some people may not be affected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but that's definitely not something
we're not,
you
want to
explore.
We're not going to hedge our bets on that.
Yeah. Let's do a little beer news. Bear, you want to do some beer news with us?
If you're allergic.
Sounds wonderful.
Beer news.
Lucky envelope.
Well, that's really beer news.
Do I sound excited enough?
Sued for murder. Whatever.
Who's that sponsored by today?
We don't have a sponsor for it.
All right, fine. I'll do a sponsor. How much is it going to cost?
Sponsored by Tasty?
It'll cost $200 a segment.
All right.
And that goes, so I'm your sponsor. So you're my sponsor, so I'm your ad guy, so...
I'll send...
What?
I gotta be able to say something.
Right. Oh, yeah, go ahead and say something. All right. Minnesota's Summit Brewing Company recently announced that it was pulling its beer out of 6 states: Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, and Michigan.
What is that?
This work, however, is not without its challenges, and recent changes to the industry have made getting our beer to retailers and to you increasingly difficult, the brewery wrote on its Where Can I Get Summit page. In order to strengthen our core and meet demand in our home market, we've made the difficult decision to cease distribution to 6 states. A Summit spokesperson declined to comment on the move. Summit's beer remains available in Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Last year, the St. Paul-based beer company pulled out of Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, and Kentucky. It has also ceased shipments to Florida, New Jersey, and Texas. That is a giant withdrawal.
Yeah.
So 6 this year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 last year. According to a Minneapolis Star Tribune profile, last year Summit's 2015 revenue was nearly $30 million from the sale of 129,000 barrels of beer. However, due to increased competition in Minnesota, where Summit is the state's second largest brewery, the company saw its 10% annual growth rate of the last decade decline to 2%.
Wow. Got to focus those ad dollars, which sounds like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I guess.
All craft is shrinking in terms of growth rate.
Yeah.
Growth is still there, but the rate of growth is backed off. That's nationwide.
Well, but if they're growing 10% year over year and then it goes to 2, that's a very internal metric that they can use to see that there's an issue.
I'm just saying that nationally it might be 14 to 5. So I'm just saying it's not like it's not just Minneapolis or.
But there's like an average or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Sure, the industry is contracting a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, yeah, there's, you know, more and more beer.
Yeah. And they're pulling out of, it's like 11 or 12 states in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
It's a lot. That's a chunk.
Well, it costs a lot to advertise your beer in Florida if you're in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any local, you don't benefit from any local advertising or any reputation.
No,
there.
You got to have salespeople and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, whole marketing force. All these states.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if we talked about it last show, or but I know last week there was a big hubbub about Anheuser-Busch, who recently merged or bought out SAB Miller, reneging on contracts for South African hops, excuse me. Did we talk about that?
Did we talk about it on the air?
I don't know.
I remember reading about it.
I don't know.
My work life and my Facebook feed are now merging together.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, that was a big story. They commandeered the entire South African hop harvest, meaning that U.S. microbreweries keen to experiment with new hops would not be able to buy any South African varieties. Since acquiring SAB Miller in 2016, AB InBev now owns SAB Hop Farms and its proprietary hop varieties, which include such things as Southern Passion, Southern Star, and African Queen. And basically, AB responded and they said, this is a quote, "This year South Africa suffered from low yields," wrote someone called Willie Buholzer. Willie Buholzer. Willie. Why not Bill? Willie.
Hmm. Billy Buholzer?
They are Willie Buholzer. AB InBev's Global Hops Procurement Director. Sounds like a cool job. Previously, SAB has sold a small surplus of locally grown hops to the market. Unfortunately, this year we do not have enough to do so, given the poor yield. More than 90% of our South African grown hops will be used in local brands. We've committed to brewing with locally grown ingredients in support of the local industry. We additionally sell hops to South African craft breweries. Blah, blah, blah. He says less than 5% would be allocated to other AB InBev breweries outside of South Africa. I don't know. I thought it was kind of important because a lot of people were complaining about this is another reason how Anheuser-Busch is killing craft beer. But this article in All About Beer, basically gives that perspective and talks to a lot of South African breweries as well. And they're like, no, we still get hops, but just not a lot of them. So we're still going to get hops. So it's not like they just took all the South African hops just to support their craft breweries here in America. They're still doing their thing, but that's kind of a typical thing in beer, right? Beer, you know that as well as I do. Like because you have a contract doesn't mean you're going to get that shit.
Yep.
That's like the amount that you're willing to buy.
Yep.
If
anything happens where weather prevents you from, or prevents the harvest from coming to full production, then you're kind of screwed. But you're on the hook regardless.
Right. Yeah, right.
If you don't need as many hops,
it's very one sided.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think also for all of the complaining on social media from breweries. How many times have you ever wanted to brew with South African hops, or how many? You probably weren't anticipating getting a receipt of some South African hops to make your fucking flagship beers.
Not particularly.
But no, I don't think anybody really does.
Breweries can get a beer that nobody else has.
Sure.
And you can say, I've got the South African blah, blah, blah hop.
Yeah.
Like summer or something. You could say, like, I've got this, and it's a unique beer. You should come and try it. And then they might.
For sure.
Keep in mind that SAB Miller, those hops wouldn't exist if they didn't buy the property, buy the equipment,
get all
the technology, even to be there.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, and to me...
It's theirs to do with what they want.
It's not just because I don't really use those hops. It wasn't a serious blow.
Yeah.
But the fact that AB InBev and SAB Miller are the same outside of North America is more of a huge deal. And this is kind of a preview of what could really happen globally, because there's not really any serious global antitrust governing body.
No.
Right.
So what's going to keep AB InBev SAB Miller from buying significant chunks of German hop-growing farms and then cinching down on that? Or Australian?
I don't know.
And then what?
That's a good point, yeah.
If the farms were for sale. I mean,
right, exactly.
These hops were like, wouldn't be there at all if they didn't put them
in. Well, no, right, but with that kind of budget, some of those hop farms would be willing to sell. And then it could eventually become a sizable chunk of the hop production.
Right. I mean, AB InBev has like some buying power. I mean, they might as well own the hop fields. I mean, they drive a lot of the hop, what's made and who gets what.
Yeah, right. It depends if they want to even buy it, too. I mean, who wants to fucking own a farm?
Yeah.
Well, no, right, but I'm saying that...
Idiots.
I think that's what people are worried about is the fact that now they're in a position to actually apply that... They can apply that pressure on the craft market.
Yes, it's definitely a signal for what could potentially happen, but I thought it was interesting where I've never heard of an American craft brewery using South African hops in a significant portion of their beers in order to, like, warrant and generate this kind of outcry.
Sure,
no African queen hops in my, you know, whatever, I don't know, it's pretty funny. what else is really funny? Golden Road is in the news, I don't know if we talked about it on the last show or not, but...
No, this is new.
Meg Gill, who's the president and, well, I guess one of the founders, visits Oakland to defend their controversial plan to open a beer garden. So those of you who don't know, Golden Road is owned by Anheuser-Busch now, and they're putting in a 7,000-square-foot tap room in Oakland.
The tap room with all the atmosphere?
Right.
It's an outdoor beer garden.
Right.
Yeah, but built out of containers, like old shipping containers. Like the most hipster Oakland thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Yes. Reclaimed.
Yes, thank you very much. Apparently, Gil was there. They're on beyond 40th Street. She was greeted by neighbors and answered questions about the proposed beer garden and restaurant. I think it was a couple weeks ago for nearly 2 hours while they're going over plans and all that kind of stuff. A few hundred feet away on the sidewalk, protesters set up their own table with signs decrying Golden Road's arrival. The opposition goes by the name Temescal Friends, but they're not so friendly when it comes to Golden Road. This is in the East Bay Express. In fact, they don't even refer to the brewery by its name. They call it an Anheuser-Busch InBev business, which I think is hilarious. They don't even say Golden Road. They just say, oh, an Anheuser-Busch InBev business. Which, again, is pretty Oakland. For the past months, activists have lobbied fellow neighbors and city leaders to stop Golden Road from building an outdoor beer garden in their proverbial backyard. Some might describe their concerns, noise, parking, traffic, drunks, as run-of-the-mill, not in my backyard worries, but a major reason they oppose the beer garden is because it'll be owned by AB InBev. This is a quote from one of the activists. She says, all the businesses on 40th Street are locally owned except the car wash across the street. the other business, like, why would you include, just leave that out.
It's weird that she knows that.
That's also very weird. The other businesses, the owners live in the community, and they want to be the good neighbors. Her implication being that AB InBev doesn't care about Oakland. But Meg Gill, who sat down for an interview with the East Bay Express last week, rejects the idea that Golden Road won't be a positive addition to the neighborhood. She explained, and don't get me wrong, this is going to culminate in some of the best quotes in the fucking beer buyout industry I've ever heard in my entire life. So
yes,
it's not just like we're railing on Golden Road, but it's how fucking just tone deaf this chick is. This millionaire.
Do you think some of it was given to her, some of the talking points, or was she coming up with this on her own? That's what I wonder.
I would probably assume so, but you be the judge when I'll figure this out. She says, she rejects the idea that Golden Road won't be a positive addition to the neighborhood. She explained how she used to work in the Bay Area at Speakeasy and was an active member in the regional beer scene before moving to Los Angeles. She says, quote, I've always wanted to come back. I've always wanted to do something creative, but small, and be able to give our brewers a little playground to do that in. We're not trying to do anything more than that here in Oakland, Gill assured. She just wanted to give them a little playground. Just a little. The benevolent master wants to give her brewers a little playground to play in. Just a little playground.
I always wanted to do something small.
Apparently.
So I made this giant brewery.
Yes.
And then sold it
to the world's largest corporation.
Right.
The beer mogul, named by Forbes magazine in 2014 as one of the 30 most promising entrepreneurs under age 30 in the country, spurns the idea that Golden Road, because it is owned by AB InBev, is a fake craft brewery. She doesn't agree with that. She doesn't think that they're fake. She also rejects the notion that Golden Road is somehow under the thumb of a so-called corporate overlord, Anheuser-Busch. This is a quote. This is the best. This is really good. It's not the best. They have nothing to do with this, Gill insisted. Anheuser-Busch reads the articles criticizing Golden Road, and they're like, what the hell's going on in Oakland? This isn't like a stake in the ground. There's no market share grab. There's no evil empire.
Hmm. So, well, wait a minute. She just said that they're not going to take any market share, so they'll sell zero beer there?
Apparently, there's no market share grab. So, like, because part of the issue is are that the other breweries in the area and the bars in the area, this is a foothold for AB now to start putting their other shit in Oakland and start pressuring through the weird various sales tactics to only push AB brand. So now all the other bars are going to be only stocking Tin Barrel and Wicked Weed and all this kind of other right. shit and forego the actual local community that Oakland is very much about.
And once they have that local presence where it appears like it's a brew pub, there's literally nothing that will prevent them from the next day having Golden Road in 1,000 bars
right.
in the Bay Area.
Yeah, she has no idea what she's talking right. about. Let's see. She says, this is just kind of B-roll, I guess. Under the blue pop tent, Gil pointed out architectural designs and renderings of her proposed 7,000-square-foot Golden Road Beer Garden. The drawings revealed a blue, yellow, and fuchsia color scheme. What? With a large, vibrant Golden Road sign at the entrance and depicted ample outdoor seating, complete with fire pits and open spaces for games like oversized Jenga.
Great.
Cool. Yeah, 2013 call. They want their fucking patio games back. More than a dozen residents hovered around Gil and a project manager while asking questions, prying to learn more. Why should Oakland welcome AB into the community? During an interview last Wednesday, Gil was unequivocal that Golden Road is its own entity. This is where like the good shit comes. Not an AB InBev pawn aiming to take out East Bay breweries and beer businesses. In fact, she suggested more than once that Golden Road wasn't even really associated with Anheuser-Busch, even telling a group of residents on Wednesday that, quote, non-factual opinion columns, unquote, are trying to paint Golden Road as part of Anheuser-Busch, and that such reports were, her words, quote, fake news.
It was just so Kellyanne.
Right? Yeah. So, opinion columns, non-factual opinion columns, suggesting non-factual. That AB InBev fake and Golden news. Road are the same company are fake news. That's fake news. What a... She's tone deaf. She has no idea what she's talking about. Gil's adoptive Trump vernacular aside, it's no secret that Golden Road's arrival has been contentious precisely because of its association with AB. Blah, 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 blah.
See, the problem with that statement is it's legally true. But they're sure. not the same company.
No, they're not. I mean, I'm paraphrasing yeah. that. That's not what she says. But non-factual opinion columns, like linking them together.
Oh, right, yeah.
That is not fake. Right. That is.
Oh, totally.
They are owned, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a couple of really good quotes here. Gil says she feels abused, quote unquote. That's her word. She feels abused by these type of attacks against her brewery, including what she described as unfair criticism by The Express. Quote, I think that your articles are abusive. I think that you're incredibly discriminatory against a successful businesswoman.
Oh, geez.
So she's hitting all the points.
Play
sexism. Right. Yeah, right. Who has done well, partnered with a big beer company. Partnered.
Wait a second. I thought she wasn't partnered with anything big. She wanted to do something small.
Apparently. Yeah,
you're making it up. It's kind of hard to keep it all straight.
Right. Oh, okay.
But she's also partnered. She didn't sell. They're partners.
They're not the same company. They're just partners.
Right.
Okay.
And is now wanting to build in Oakland, just like Rare Barrel or any of these other guys, she explained.
Hmm.
Really? So she brought family money and local support to put this thing together?
I mean, listen to this.
When they go to get a loan, they go see it. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're owned by AB InBev, you know. Oh, sure.
And is the Rare Barrel opening a new location in Oakland?
I think that you're incredibly discriminatory against a successful businesswoman who has done well, partnered with a big beer company, and is now wanting to build in Oakland just like Rare Barrel. So in that statement, which is classic fucking Anheuser-Busch bullshit, they're using other successful craft breweries
right.
in the same phrasation as their shit. Right. To make them seem even. And then in this statement, it makes it sound like the Rare Barrel is partnering with a big beer company and wanting to move to Oakland. Well, that they're just mirroring exactly what Rare Barrel is
right.
doing.
And no one's complaining about Rare Barrel's success because they're guys.
That's correct. They do wear dresses every now and then. I shouldn't probably
say
that.
But that's totally separate.
That's their own personal lives. Jay's legs aren't very much built for.
He doesn't shave them.
No, it's very long dresses, long flowing things. I don't know. I thought that was pretty pretty hilarious. Like, she's just basically, she's a millionaire just crying. She's crying. And I fucking, I don't know, I love this article because it's perfect.
And didn't she say that she maybe misunderstood the Bay Area or was being misunderstood by the Bay Area?
Yes. Let's see.
Maybe we just aren't getting her.
Right. It's a lot of traffic bullshit and all that kind of stuff.
She's on the winning team. So. Yeah. We don't know how that team works that well.
So here's a pretty good one. Golden Road is asking for a parking spot waiver for the beer garden, meaning patrons will fill street parking lots, and it's already very nearly impossible to find one in the area, residents say. Concerns over the oversaturation of alcohol establishments are valid. There are numerous restaurants and bars that serve alcohol in the Temescal Telegraph District, and many view Golden Road as yet another gentrifying force, out-of-towners parachuting in town simply to cash in on Oakland's trendiness. Well, there you go. They are Temescal friends are demanding that the city not grant Golden Road's requested 5 parking spot waiver and not to allow the brewery to open or to operate until 1 or 2 a.m. as planned. Which is pretty crazy. The opposition has Gil surprised. She recently visited the East Bay to highlight a Berkeley-based group for her TV show, and in general feels like she has roots here. Even though she's not from here. This is a quote. Maybe I have a misunderstanding since I left the Bay Area, but I thought people are going to love this. People are going to be excited that we're coming back to the Bay Area. I didn't expect to be ostracized.
Hmm.
When were they in the Bay Area before? I don't get that.
She worked at Speakeasy.
Her, yeah.
And that's it. I mean, maybe some other Johns around, but, like, that's it. She didn't have a business
yeah,
here.
Yeah, there's no she trained up culture here. In the
right.
Bay Area.
No. No. But she always, Tasty, she always wanted to come back and do something small, just something fun. Just a fun, small project.
In addition to her TV show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, while she was here, eating for the show anyway. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I found
you're
it,
busy, you know, when it, you're at the winning team, it's a whole different thing. You got to understand. That's why she went for the deal. She wanted to be with the winning team.
I found it extraordinarily tone deaf. It's like, well, I thought that we were going to come back, and it's like, and everybody's going to love it. But you were here in learning the culture. Barry, you guys have the same, a similar
beer
drinking culture up there.
She was trying to do a hostile takeover.
Yeah, well, like, you know, you want to come back into the culture where you were kind of learning the culture up here, and you think that would be a good idea to bring international corporate money into a culture that specifically is grown out of a rejection of that? That makes no sense.
No, it's a little, yeah, pretty much like you said, tone deaf.
It's ludicrous.
Yep.
But she's playing the victim card for the 70% of the people reading that article
who don't
know any of the history.
Right.
Which is why that article. Golden Road or anything
which
else.
Which is why that article is great. I skipped a lot of that. That article really goes through, like, laying it out. You know what I mean? And, you know, plus the weird industry rumors that. It was a brewery built to be sold.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Hey, God bless.
The facts are mean sometimes.
They can be mean. That's true.
Or fake.
Here's one that's not fake, though. It might be fake. I have no idea. But I love it anyway. This is from an English website called Metro. There's a beer which gives you mystical sexual powers. Apparently. And look at this. This ancient drawing on land. Huh. This guy with a huge fucking boner.
Yeah, how do I get that beer?
That's their label. It's great. Watercress Warrior has been created from the seeds of superfoods like watercress. The leafy ingredient, which is rich in vitamins A, B, C, and E, but not D, because that shit's weird, as well as an apparently being renowned as an aphrodisiac. A union between Dorset-based beer makers Cern Abbas Brewery and the Watercress Company. Watercress Warrior's sexual powers are no doubt increased by the famous Cern Giant, which will feature as its label logo. So Google Cern Giant, C-E-R-N-E, because that would be the greatest, like, mid-arm tattoo in the entire universe. The guy's a giant boner in, like, these two huge balls.
Maybe not if you're at work.
No, do it at work. Actually, do it. You're about to do a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
Have that as your background first, or your first slide, or end with it.
Don't even look at the image. Just
put a watermark in every slide.
Yeah. Great. Is that a bone? Weird. The 180-foot-tall chalk figure is an ancient symbol of fertility and is known as a pilgrimage destination for couples wishing to conceive. As well as a load of watercress seeds and hops, the beer has been made using blah, 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 a bunch of water. Sir Nevis is one of the first places watercress was grown and also the location of a brilliant brewery, which we were very keen to work with, says some guy from the watercress company. There is, of course, also the famous giant, who supposedly is an ancient symbol of fertility. We thought it was the perfect face for our brew. It's a 4.5% beer, very fruity with a peppery kick. And basically, I'm talking about it because the fucking logo is a guy with the hard on of a fucking tree trunk. It's huge, and I think it's hilarious.
And the TTB allowed that.
Well, it's in the UK, so I don't know if they have the English version of the TTB, whatever the fuck that is.
All right.
Anyway, that's beer news.
Huh.
Brought to you by apparently by Tasty.
Have you used any water chestnut?
Watercress?
Watercress nuts? Seeds?
No.
No?
Yeah. Not at all. Well, yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, that's the beer news, everybody. And I also forgot to mention that proposed Golden Road tap room is going in sort of in the neighborhood of the Drake's dealership.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so I'm sure that everyone's not really stoked about that. But if you want, look, if they do open up, which apparently the city council is not really all that sold on, and you're in that neighborhood and you want good local beer, go to Drake's dealership. Check out all their beers. Do that. When you're in the Bay Area, drink Drake's out here because it's a good beer. They're doing some good stuff. And they've been longtime supporters of the show. And, you know, really, it's more about just making good beer, man. That's what we're all about.
And they are actually local.
You know that for a fact. Yeah. Warren, what was our Twitter game, my friend?
The Twitter game was looking for new topics to talk about in 2017.
Okay.
We've already talked about a lot, and there's been a lot of carryover from 2016. So
there
I'm
has.
Ready. I'm ready for some new things.
Okay. Some new Johns. Let's talk about them.
What do you got? Gosh, your backwards scrolling is really irritating.
No, you push up to move the screen up. It makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, but if you put your hands on the paper and slid it, it's different.
Yeah, but it's a computer. There's no paper involved.
Well, right. I'm old school.
Okay, I forgot. Are you using my computer just as a surface to write on? Because I could help you out.
Right, yeah, I've been erasing. Some of the buttons are a little smudged
okay,
with my erase
right.
marks.
Yeah. The P, the O, the R, the N.
Right. Yeah.
H, the U, the B. Those are all gone.
They're gone. Josh says, the Hop Grenade Brewery build. He thinks there's going to be a Hop Grenade Brewery
yeah.
coming soon.
I doubt that very highly.
He's
That's
hopeful.
Work. There's actually work involved in a brewery, right, Barry? There's like actual labor.
Yeah, I have Josh do it all. So yeah. I wake up and everything takes care of itself.
Everything's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, your back works. It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah,
right. I smile a lot.
Did you smile much before him?
Once.
Before the brewery.
Yep, once.
Yeah.
Christian says, session IPAs, something else we don't give a shit about.
Okay, that was from Christian, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
William says, we finally find out who wins the death pool, if you call that a win.
Okay.
It would be different.
Let's see. Gregory says, Yelp reviews of the new Fort Collins hop grenade. Yeah, we've never read Yelp reviews.
No, well, we did one. Because,
oh, we did?
Yeah, because Justin was offended somehow that someone wanted ice.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the most unreasonable request to make at a restaurant.
Oh, you want cold water? let's see. Brian says, what at Major Jip would do after winning gold at 2017 NHC?
Oh, I like that.
What would you do? We can talk about that right now.
cool.
You'll have to find out.
All right.
At me in July.
Let's see. Dave says, the BA continues its censorship program. The low hug is outlawed at GABF.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Tasty.
There's no women there at the GABF.
You said that?
I'm going to use the low hug
that
in,
was
in the real world.
Dave.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave Malone.
No more low hug, Tasty.
All right, well,
outlawed.
Tell Dave to bring his wife. And
then we'll talk.
Then we'll talk.
Yeah, Dave.
Let's see. Jake says, Mexican IPA. It's the same as a regular IPA, but it scares Trump.
Okay.
Apparently.
All right. He was going for it.
Yeah.
He tried. He went in.
Yeah. He jumped over that wall. Fine. See, Marshall from Brewlosophy chimed in He said, screw beer, it's Moscow Mule year.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was a reference to Scott.
I think
or
it's
he just
drink.
Likes the drink.
I'm sure it's just the drink.
Yeah. Then someone got real.
Oh, shit.
Let's see. Oh, effing beer TM.
Okay.
Is the name. They trademarked their own name, I guess.
All right.
Breweries getting fined by the FDA for failing to meet the GCMP standards.
I don't know what that means.
That's I'm
too dumb
all
for
brewers need to wear hairnets. Barry knows. He just sat through a seminar on it.
Yes, it was a wonderful 3 hours the day after our anniversary party. 9 a.m.
Yeah, so...
Sounds wonderful.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, the FDA's been going through and making breweries wear hairnets, making brewers wear hairnets on their heads, on their beards, everything, and other health standards throughout the entire process. Like at Trumer, they made the brewers wear hairnets. No hair is going to make it through the layers of filtration that they have in their system, but...
It doesn't mean a hair isn't in there.
What, it passed through the filter?
No, it mean the
Oh, that it has been in there
been
at
in
some
there.
Point?
Dog hair in my mesh, but it doesn't affect the beer, but, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Just because you have a hair net doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to prevent shit.
Right, but the FDA has those standards for any food production facility.
Like it might end up in the beer, like, oh, Jesus, there's a hair in my beer. Like,
right.
Yeah. Have they looked at hot dogs?
Well, they're busy. They just discovered breweries.
Oh, shit. All
yeah.
right.
So... Yeah, I've actually heard that being real.
They have to wear hairnets?
That's one of the recommended things that they have mentioned.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of things that are going around. One of the big things is what happens when you recall a product. Are you tracking things? I think they're focusing a lot on documentation, making sure that everybody's ass is covered.
Okay, so it's not like you have to do it now or you're getting fined?
This point it's not, but I know that come whenever that happens, 2000, end of this year or the year after, they're going to start enforcing it.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think it's part of some legislation that passed 2011 or so.
Okay.
But Food Safety Modernization Act.
Huh.
So Warren, will you get like a parachute or something to cover up your beard? I mean... What, do you have to cover big enough for that thing?
Well, it sounds like I have a year to figure it out.
Is that something that you know that the BA is trying to fight? I mean, that sounds ridiculous.
I don't know where it stands. I know that MBAA, the Masters Brewers Association of America, has been doing some seminars, and that's what we sat through. So they're just making sure people are aware of it, and there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be figured out on the FDA side, but they're letting us know right now, you know, like brew pubs can't be as open about putting spent grain into pretzels because there's a lot of record keeping you have to do to make sure that you're taking you're processing a spent grain and putting it into people food.
Okay. So like no botulism can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's an issue where the FDA is kind of figuring out these new laws.
Mm-hmm.
And with the spent grain issue, there was going to be a huge crackdown on even getting rid of spent grain and even being okay with sending it to cattle.
Yeah. Yep.
And so they are being somewhat lenient and flexible and working with brewers on what's realistic.
Yeah.
So there is hope that maybe I don't have to put a giant parachute or grocery bag.
That would because it already has the handles. So you just tuck them over your ears.
Actually, a grocery bag would not be that hard.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I could do that.
Yeah, contact like the Safeway for
that's true.
Sponsoring.
I could brand it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would be like the replacement for your logoed T-shirts, which you can't see anyway because your giant fucking beard.
Well, but also the problem is that now we're in California where those grocery bags don't exist anymore.
The Safeway now still sells, but they're like super heavy duty. They're like four of the normal light ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
okay.
It makes sense. I just throw them in the water every time I drive over the bridge. I just throw them all out.
You have a car full.
Yeah, and I expedite the fucking...
If he sees a dolphin or something, he throws like four or five out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Make sure you get one right on its nose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They earned it.
They did. Okay, anyway, go ahead, Warren.
So that's it. That was the last one.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense to me. So the ones I liked were the one from Christ, where something about session things.
I'm scrolling backwards up. Session IPAs, something else we don't give a shit about.
Okay. Will, he wanted to talk about the death pool. He thinks that we would finally understand what the fuck that's about.
That's true. Well, someone might actually... He thinks someone will win.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to take that off. I don't like that anymore.
Okay.
Greg, reading our own Yelp reviews.
Yes. For the hop grenade.
Yeah. Of course, my own personal favorite right now is Brian. What would I do when I won? When I win? Oh, I forgot to drink my beer.
Oh, I mean, well, that's a positive thing to talk about. So I kind of like that one
anymore. I'd hate for Bev to do something.
She looks real busy.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I brought my beer, my rebrew for the second round. I wanted to drink it on the air.
Oh, yeah, this is the round
but
two.
But I forgot, yeah.
I can go grab it. Do you want to do it?
Well, no, but then we have, like, the glasses. Yeah, if you can grab, like, a glass for everybody.
It's not that complicated.
Would you mind? It's in my little rare barrel fucking John, the white one.
It involves walking out there and getting four glasses.
But I never know. She hasn't done that before.
But I never know what she will complain about and what she won't, so I'm always, on edge.
Yeah,
well, I complain
true.
About everything.
Oh, you heard that?
Yes.
Bev, go get the
Yeah, why aren't the glasses here?
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
I complain about that later.
Why? No. Hey, Bev.
So what was the one about Mexican lager or something? What was
it? It was Mexican lager. It's... Or no, Mexican IPA.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the same as regular IPA, except it scares Trump.
Did you like that one? I didn't have it on my list. So I didn't want to.
Yeah. Right.
And the last one I had on my list was Dave, which they're going to ban the low hug at JBF.
That would be worth talking about also.
Yeah.
I think that and what you would do with your gold medal.
You think out of those two?
Those are my two favorites.
Okay. You guys agree with that?
Yep.
Sure.
Good finals.
Barry's like, whatever, dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay, well, which one? Me winning or the low hug? What's your favorite, Warren?
Oh, wait, I have to decide?
Well, no, we're just going to go.
Oh, we're voting?
I don't know. I got to kill time for Bev to fucking come to
the
thing.
We're waiting on beer.
This is going to be the best finale to the Twitter game.
I'm going
to
vote for yours
because
it's positive versus no low hugging happening. That's not positive.
You don't want to see that.
I don't want to live in a world where there's not low hugs.
No low hugs. Barry, what about you? Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. All right. Think we can throw you a bone.
I know Tasty agrees. I don't even have to fucking. Yeah, okay. Well, it's me. So, Brian.
Hey!
Thank you very much, my friend. You will get something. We have some. Where are you going? Are you leaving?
Do we have something?
To pee?
Oh.
Well, what do you want? Can you wait 5 minutes?
I can do it.
Can you hold it?
Yes.
Okay. No, he wanted to not have to drink your beer.
Because you got to drink my beer right now.
I was just trying to be polite.
No, no.
Right. Now you made it awkward.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Now we know. Okay, perfect. So, Brian, thank you very much. This is my rebrew. I haven't even tasted it yet. I've just kegged it, I think, like Tuesday or Wednesday.
It tastes a lot like peanut butter.
That's the other one.
Oh, that's
Warren.
The wrong one.
God.
Okay.
It's my second round entry for the National Homebrewers Competition at HomebrewCon, which, by the way, tickets are on sale for the 39th Annual National Homebrewers Conference, a.k.a. HomebrewCon. Join your homebrewing comrades this June 15th and 17th in Minneapolis, the City of Lakes, for three unforgettable days of learning, camaraderie, and delicious beer. Space is limited, so be sure to register now, homebrewcon.org.
So what place did you get in
I
the
got
second,
second place
oh.
in the first round.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Oh, you're living too much ahead.
Just get your ribbon. I saw that it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I did, and I threw it on the floor because I didn't give a shit about it.
Yeah, I like that. You're a baller.
So I tweaked this out a little bit, and I like reduced some of the British crystal in it because after like a month, it was too toffee, and I didn't dig on it too much. I just backed it off a smidge.
Are you noticing a difference?
I am, yeah, in the body, definitely. Nice. Definitely.
And it's about 2 weeks from now is when this will be judged, right?
Probably more like three because... NHC is like the 15th, and I think they start judging like the 13th or 14th, maybe.
Okay.
So it needs some more carbonation, obviously. I mean, I didn't really do a very great job. I mean, I purged this giant growler, and then I filled it like three quarters of the way. So,
Didn't help.
Yeah. No, it didn't help. But I didn't know what else to do. It was already clean. I was like, oh shit, it's like 4:30, and like fuck, I gotta fill that. I gotta bring some of this beer. So, I don't know.
The flavor definitely is different.
It's different, right?
Yeah.
Is it better different, or is it is it different? Because those are different.
Very different, actually.
Yeah.
I think how...
Because I still have time to rebrew.
I was wrong. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I guess 3 weeks. Yeah.
Why not? Actually, I got to ship it out next week.
How I thought the first one was maybe a little bit too roasty and too strong.
Yes.
In the roast character.
Yes, Warren. Don't break my heart, my achy-breaky one, dude.
I mean, I was wrong because it made it to the second round.
It's true.
But I think it's too much. the other way.
You really? You think I backed off too much?
Yeah.
What was the category it won?
Oatmeal stout.
Oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I get it. It's very, very milk chocolatey.
Yeah, definitely oaty. You definitely get the oat.
You get that?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Tasty, what do you think?
Yeah, it needs more roast character, more stout.
You think it needs more roast character?
Yeah, more roast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think it's a function of the...
Where's the beer at? If you package it first...
No, not at all. Not at all. I just fucking kegged it like Wednesday or whatever.
Thinking Sinmar?
Or make a tea of some, like some roasted malt.
Hmm.
Drop it into a couple 12-ounce bottles, you know. Experiment with some drops.
Okay, you think so? You think it needs that much?
Well, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, and that's yeah.
Warren has a similar opinion. He thought you backed off on the roast side too much.
Did you say roast or did you say caramel? I didn't touch the roast at all.
You did?
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, no. Did I? Fuck, I may have to counter that.
It tastes
because I thought if I just dropped the crystal malt instead of like 70-80, I went like 50-60. And
right.
A little bit less and a little bit more Crystal 15 to kind of just, you know, not drop it entirely. But I think I may have dropped the roast a smidge because I didn't want, you know, the absence of the crystal to let the roast shine through too much.
It doesn't take much. If you like, if it was like 8 ounces and you backed it down to 5, that's a significant change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is on the Pico brew, so it was like.
Something like those kind of numbers.
0.0
right?
Something of yeah. Whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be worth experimenting with some extract.
Okay.
Roasted extract in a bottle.
Yeah.
Or even in a pint glass, just drop a couple drops in.
Well, Sinmar's just color, right? It doesn't really do any flavor.
You got plenty of color. It's just more about the roast character.
Yeah, they say it doesn't add flavor, but...
But it does?
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barry, what do you think?
You'll
be honest with me.
No, I think the... Yeah, missing a little bit of that roast. That's why I think it's more... I think with an oatmeal stout, I think it should be a little more dark chocolatey and not milk chocolatey. It's
okay.
Really nice, drinkable. But I think, yeah, you might be able to steep a tea with some, I don't know, either roasted barley or maybe even some, I don't know, Carafa might add some more of those coffee notes in there. But that's what I'm getting, but it's still drinkable. I don't know if it's, I guess, stylistically oatmeal stouty.
Okay.
I like the reduction in Lovibond of the crystal malt. Compared
to
the first one.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Because when I first had it, I thought it was really good. Like, the first week or two. I was like, this is great. And then the toffee kind of came through a lot. I was like, this is not that great.
Mm. Of the first one.
Of the first one, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you still have bottles of that?
I think I may have one. I don't know.
Because I was thinking, I don't know if you tried blending him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could.
You got one shot.
Right. Me and fucking Eminem, dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. I wanted to share it with you guys and see what you guys thought. And,
yeah, sure.
I was excited to have you try it and give me your feedback. So maybe I'll check that out. I probably won't, though.
I mean, I would still be happy drinking this.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a great, well-made beer. For
yes.
Sure. It's just in terms of, like, you know, the second round, they're all about style, right? They're looking for reasons to kick beers out, and they'll be up against other beers that have more roast character.
Right.
So you're going to taste, you know, more like a... More porter-like than maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I would still put this in the mid upper 30s, even in the oatmeal stout category.
I can't get out of those numbers when my beers.
I'm also not a judge.
Impossible.
Yeah,
it's real tough.
It is.
Yeah, I feel like judges are very. I mean, even when I'm doing it, it's 41 is mind blowing to me, and I don't know why. I don't know why we're not more generous going up higher, but I feel like there's like this magic threshold at 40 that people just don't. That the way I've seen it is people don't like to cross it.
Yeah,
most judges realize if they've never had a 45 point beer, how are you going to be able to score one?
Yeah,
right.
In general, that's true, but I've had a 43, 44 beer that didn't even go to. Final round.
I've had a 42 was the highest I've ever gotten, and it didn't go anywhere. Or maybe it was a 41. I forget now. But it didn't move on.
Yeah.
Which fucking made me mad.
Right.
Like, then what are we doing here?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
What are we doing here? If a 36 can outpace me to move on, and I got a 41, you're a dick.
Well, so that's why it's all relative to the judge. It's like, okay, well, so if I got a 43 and didn't advance, I want to see what the other score sheets were that did.
Right.
And were they 50s?
I never, like, understood that. Where, yeah, if you're in the low 40s and you don't advance,
what's in play there is that you're when they score your beer, it's the first judging of the beer. Then, in bigger categories, and it's true in a lot of the categories of the national competition, they have to do a second run, what they call mini best of show. Then it's like a best of show format. There's no score sheets. You're just drinking these eight beers side by side in that category. And you're drinking your oatmeal stout against this other guy's oatmeal stout. And, you know, yours might be a 41, his might be a 38, or a 32 even. And they just like his better than yours for whatever reason. So your score sheet says 41, but you don't advance.
And so they're just literally tasting blind two glasses and just say, I like this one better.
Yeah, best of show. Best of show format.
Right. I didn't realize that that was the format for many best of show. Is it blind tasting and you just pick the one you like better and that's it?
First, the three you like.
Yeah. Huh.
Which is ridiculous how you can get a 32. I mean, I know you're just throwing
that's
it out.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that does make some sense because judges' kind of scale is different. Someone might think average is a 30. Other people might think average is 36. And so there's a 6-point difference.
Right. Yeah.
Depends on the beers you get, too. Right, for instance, say you're doing stouts, right? That's when they do mini best of show. You might taste eight stouts, and your best one is, like, worse than the other guy. The worst beer in the whole bunch. Like all 40, 87 beers.
Yeah.
And you advance it. Well, you know, that's where it gets worked. It gets shaken out. It's this mini best of show.
Right. Unfortunate.
I think they should
just
give
me... It's not a perfect system, but it's a system.
Right, and it's hard to improve on it. How would you make it better?
People are objective. Yeah. And then, frankly, if you could judge every beer against every other one, so you could take all 80 stouts in front of you,
right,
and you had a really good palate. But I like the two-round thing. It's really a good way to do it.
Yeah. We need more judges in order for that to happen.
Well, usually what they do is they switch tables. Like, you make advanced beers and stouts, but then you go do IPAs and do the second round of those. And then other guys come over and do that.
Well, I think, especially with the Nationals, the hard part is you have people who don't know what the fuck they're doing judging the first round.
Yeah.
And then you have people who sort of know what they're doing judging the second round.
Yeah, they're better at the second
round. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think what would have helped, though, is I would have planned the recipe using Beersmith, Warren.
Probably.
I think that would have helped me a lot.
Yeah, then you could see your percentages, and that helps.
Then I could do it right instead of all that other shit. So check them out. Go to beersmith.com. Get your 21-day free trial. It's the best beer recipe software out there. Barry, is that what you're using? Holding up a bunch of stuff.
Yep, that's what we use. We use Beersmith.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See, look at that. It works for commercial breweries. It works for home brewers. You don't have to buy something new when you open your brewery that you want to do. So check them out, beersmith.com. They're good people over there. I know they're working hard to make sure that everything is working for you. So give them a shot. You won't be disappointed. Speaking of being disappointed, Warren, I think it's time to go.
Oh, but that's not how I feel.
Oh, shit. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Get better.
Get better at being disappointed.
Yeah, get over it, Ronnie.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready to take us out?
Yes.
All right. Actually. Barry, thanks, man. I appreciate it once again for coming out all the way down here from Seattle.
Thanks for having me on.
Hanging out in our terrible, terrible area of the Bay Area, the beer wasteland. There's nothing to do. I'm sure you were bored out of your fucking tits the whole time you were here.
I sat in the bed of the hotel and just watched TV.
On the corner of the bed, I imagine, in your underwear and socks.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I would do, too.
Soon Golden Road's coming, though.
Yes, you have a reason to come back.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, again, thanks, man. The beers are great. And thanks to Dave from Flat Tail for calling in and talking about his trip for getting rid of his own cancer or whatever it is. All right, Warren, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody. It's been The Session, and we are out of here.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. And special thanks to Smooth Hands Barry for coming down from sunny Seattle to help share his tasty beer and told us how to spice up the fermenter a little bit with his peppers.
I get it. That's a joke.
It was a joke. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nathan Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Warren is stuck over at another beardy, and the great Beverly is crushing cyberspace at Bevo 1. JP thinks Twitter is dead, and you should follow him on Instagram at Major Jip. Today's show was produced by Bevo, and your host was Jason Petros. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just my sky and